Let me take this opportunity and apologize for a delay with too many responsibilities in this parliament with the meeting of strategy. And we had to be there, myself and Honorable Desmond are members of that committee, which is very crucial for us. Let me welcome the Deputy Ministers of International Relations. Our portfolio committee is blessed today to have two of them. The minister I know, she's in cabinet. We were together in strategy, but she had to go back to the cabinet. Today we're going to have a briefing from the department. It's our normal routine in terms of oversight. But I must say, Deputy Minister, that I honored your invitation to the Ubuntu Awards. They are very nice, beautiful awards. But serious transformation of those awards has to happen. Has to happen and happen very urgent. I'm going to detail how and where are the elements of transformation that we should factor. I want DG to agree with what the president said there. Those awards must be renamed. It must be Oliver Reginald Tambo Ubuntu Awards. Now what the president of the country says to departments, it becomes an instruction. And that instruction, you must carry it. And as the chair of the portfolio committee, I'm endorsing that. Because your own building there is also Oliver Reginald Tambo. So the awards must be Oliver Reginald Tambo Ubuntu Awards. So that they have a meaning as well. So on that note, I'm welcoming all of you. I got an apology from Honorable Mulder, who is attending the Chief Whips Forum. So I'm doing apologies for you now, Committee Secretary, because you allow members to communicate with me direct, and I like it when they communicate with me direct. They tend to quit. Power is a state commodity. They bambi lelingo. So then the nonsense wako. Very nice. So without wasting time, DG, before you speak, maybe your principal wants to say one or two things. And then if that's the case, I will allow them. And thereafter, you and the team, you present. Probably must have one in opening and the other one in closing remarks. We are going to decide on who that first. Thank you very much. Nine, Mikey, nine. Oh, okay, good.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to honorable members of this portfolio committee, staff and visitors who are here. Thank you for the opportunity to present opening remarks. We are here as per the responsibility that the government has given us and the responsibility that you have as portfolio committee. We are here to present the reports that you have requested. As political head of this department, we have looked at the report. We will take full responsibility of what is going to be presented here today. And we want to apologize for not being regularly present in the portfolio committee meeting due to the responsibility that we have. We are almost up and down. So we really appreciate that you have called this meeting while we are all around, and we want to assure the committee that we'll comply with all the issues that you have raised. We accept that, yes, the president has indicated that you need to rename the award. We'll do as advised, and we really appreciate your presence to the Ubuntu Award, and also apologize if it happens that the invitation came late and it didn't come in a proper manner. The Ubuntu Award is a function that we are taking over, we continue with it. It started long ago, so we felt that it is relevant. But the transformation that you are indicating, we'll look at it and we'll advise the officials how to go about it. With this short word, Chairperson, we want to thank you.
Thanks, DM. An apology from Honorable Salt. She's going to join us late as well because she's attending SCOPA. We are double parked here in Parliament. So she will come and join us, hoping they are rapping. And today they are dealing with a delicate matter of business rescue, yes, AAA. So that matter is very interesting. It's, and it's of national importance. So she'll join us later when she's done. Teaching, we are going to line up your team accordingly. May I'm giving you powers for this session. May. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of our Portfolio Committee. And we thank you for having invited us to brief this Honorable Committee on the third quarter of the 2019-2020, which stands between October and December 31. Before I do anything, I'd like to introduce the team that is supporting me. From the far end, we have Ms. Dolores Godwin. She's in monitoring and evaluation. And next to her is Ms. Bongiwe Kwabe. She is on the Global Governance and Continental Agenda Branch, and she's here to assist us with the presentation of the AU part. Then Mr. Spengel is in financial management, and I'm also having with me the CFO, Mr. Marshall. I believe the rest of the team, head of the ARF Secretariat, I'm not sure why she's sitting in the back, Mr. Inel Matapu is another one who is going to be presenting. So this is the core team, and I'll request the committee to allow me to.
The statement to the DG, I know you are always talking about it, but we are nice to you. The statement to the DG.
So thank you, Honorable Chair. The DERCO report, as it is divided into the two parts, the performance information part, which is also auditable, and the financial report, which the next part we will be sharing between the colleagues, Ms. Kotze and Ms. Bengu, and then we'll be taking questions, and we thank our principals for being here as well, and then it could be allowed. May I defer to Ms. Kotze to take us through the performance information part.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Ministers, DG, and colleagues. Our third quarter report, as DG indicated, this talks to 1st October to 31st of December. We will reflect on our performance information as well as our financial information. Both of these aspects are audited by the AG. With regard to the performance information, because program one covers transversal programs, so it's only a few indicators that we have. It does not mean that the other operational matters are not attended to. They are attended to at the branch level, and they get monitored through a branch quarterly report. So with regard to program one, we're looking at our 100% compliance with our 30-day period. And we are still struggling to get to our 100%. And we are currently working on our ICT challenges. The Minister has appointed an ICT review panel that is currently working with us, and so that when we start 1 April, we have a particular plan in place to make sure that we address our outdated ICT systems. With regard to our training programs that we offer, the first training program is in line with our foreign service training strategy. This is training that is delivered by the Diplomatic Academy. So it will involve, for example, heads of mission training, so ambassadors designate, appointed by the president. They will go through a training. We will do a protocol training for the spouses. When we do our mission administrators at both junior and senior levels, it will include them. It is our language training that is offered by the department, and it's offered to both the department as well as other partner departments. So for quarter three, we've delivered 22 of those programs, and that's delivered by the Diplomatic Academy. The generic skills training program, these are the programs that we've listed in our WSP, the Workplace Skills Program or Plan. And this is delivered as part of our HRD, the Human Resource Development Chain. And what it then would mean is if I identify that I have a need for strategic planning or monitoring and evaluation of this skill, I would put it in my performance development plan. And depending on the budget that's available, I will then be sent to a particular training that is being outsourced. And that is where we have the 7 delivered. Now that one was delivered already in Q2, but we're well on way to achieve our annual target. With regard to our legal advice, although we continuously deliver the service, we only reported twice a year, in quarter two and quarter four, so there was no target for quarter three. With regard to gender mainstreaming, people with disabilities and youth development, our target for the year was to look at 10. And because it is quarter three, I thought it would be useful for the committee, and I trust the honourable members will find it useful. We've tried to give an indication in terms of our progress with regard to the annual target, so that when we come back for quarter four, at least we already know whether we will make our annual target. So we had a target of 3 for quarter three, but we've only achieved 1. We had scheduling difficulties, but we have rescheduled those for quarter two. And it was an interactive dialogue on workplace bullying, abuse, harassment, and work ways of creating a workplace that's peaceful and conducive. Because we know that during that time, particularly how much bullying was reported, particularly at school level. So we just needed to make sure that we have a conducive work environment, and that's one of the programs. With regard to the sexual harassment awareness workshop and the disability awareness, that will be done now in quarter four. That takes care of our program one. With regard to program two, which is our international relations, bilateral, this is still the key cornerstone for the conduct of diplomacy, state-to-state relations. And what we are doing here is we're reflecting both the work that we do on a bilateral level, that is, whether our deputy ministers, our president, our DG, engage with their counterparts, but it's also the work that's been conducted by our missions and the host countries where they are accredited. So it reflects both the political work as well as the economic diplomacy work. So with regard to the political targets, when I tabled the APP earlier this year, on the political targets we have the structured bilateral mechanisms. This is a signed agreement between two states on how they will manage their bilateral relations, and we had for quarter three, we have 9, and we've listed the countries with who we had those bilateral relations with. The 9 that we've achieved, it was Nigeria, Denmark, Brazil, Italy, Ireland, India, China, and both a dialogue as well as the BNC, because we have various mechanisms that we've signed with China. then the focus of those particular meetings, the bilateral mechanisms, is on peace and security, trade and investment, education, research, people-to-people, that is your cultural relations as well, cooperation with regard to science and technology, and so forth. Then with regard to our high-level engagement for this quarter, for the quarter under review, we have 6 targeted, we have 10, and we have listed that on the next slide as well, the countries that we have them with, and then of course the focus of discussions there. We signed a few MOUs, particularly we looked at agro-processing, forest management, trade and investment, because when we have a bilateral engagement, it is DIRCO for the political, but we also have partner departments. So say, for example, we have an agreement with in terms of science and technology, then the Department of Science and Technology will be part of that engagement. If we have trade-related issues, then DTIC will be part of that. If it is about infrastructure development, then the Department of Transport. If it's with regard to energy, the Department of Energy would be part of it. So it's not only DIRCO. We deal with the political aspect, but when it's sector-specific, we partner with the relevant sector department within South Africa. That's our two political targets for our state-to-state relations. With regard to the economic diplomacy, and this is the work that is particularly being conducted by our missions abroad. When they go, they get a particular mandate in terms of what they have to do. Once again, they work with our partner departments because the domestic work happens in South Africa. They will then either participate or host trade and investment seminars, because the ambassador or the council will then use this opportunity to indicate to the business people of that particular country what are the trade opportunities available, what are the rules of engagement, the ease of business in South Africa, if there are particular questions with regard to your energy crisis, your SAA, your SOEs, then our ambassadors need to be in a position to answer those questions, and we use these kind of platforms. So we sell the products that we have, and when I say sell, I'm talking about showcasing. It's not really the exchange of money, per se, that happens. The conversations that took place during this period of time was particularly around environmental technology, pharmaceuticals, renewable energy, IT. We also looking at our cultural aspects of South African films also. Science and technology is the big issue that we're looking at. We did not achieve all our targets for Q3. This is one of the 5 economic diplomacy activities where a particular budget is required. So sometimes when we have to review our budget and reprioritize in terms of our baseline, this is one of the areas that normally then will be looked at. However, it is also in terms of availability and scheduling during the Q3. We are expecting a huge impact because of the coronavirus, an impact particularly on the targets that sits on our China mission APPs and some of the related ones. And that impact we will see when we report on Q4. Then the second activity that our missions particularly engage in to make sure that we are promoting South Africa is the Chamber of Commerce. These are specialized chambers that are particularly looking at sectors, and these are the people that sometimes make up the rules for imports and exports. So we need to know what the regulatory framework is and then have a conversation, and this is the work that our missions do abroad as well, once again in consultation with our partner departments at home. That one also was not achieved for Q3, but because we've overachieved in Q1 and Q2, we will achieve our quarterly, our end of the year target. With regard to our targeted government ministries, this is one aspect, for example, that does not necessarily require money per se, because we don't do entertainment as we used to do. So we will set up the meeting with the partner department if it is around education, if it is around science and technology. That is the government ministries that we will meet to have conversations, because the idea that our missions have is that they need to go and source opportunities for South Africa abroad, because we have, for the SICT administration, a clear goal in terms of economic growth. Then our high-level potential investors, we know that we had our second, the President had the second investment conference in October, and so our missions are to, in conjunction with the Presidential Economic Advisory Council, identify those investors, follow up, nurture those relationships, and start working to solicit new investors for the third one that will take place later this year. With regard to tourism, this is particularly in areas where we do not have brand SA, where we do not have offices for SAT or South African Tourism. Then our missions have to use the opportunities to sell South Africa as a tourist as well as a conference destination. And sometimes what the missions will do, we will, because we celebrate our national days, to profile and make South Africa visible. We will use that platform, for example. So the missions are finding creative ways. They will meet tour operators. They will indicate to the tour operators what are the packages available, not only about the beauty of the Western Cape, but also Mpumalanga, Limpopo, KZN, to say that when you come to South Africa, it's not only about the mountain, the sea, and the wild animals. There are other areas as well. And our missions then use that opportunity. They do get the material from Brand SA so that we have the same message that we sell about South Africa, as well as SA Tourism. That takes care of our bilateral relations. With regard to our regional integration, which sits also under Program 2, which is with regard to SADC, we had one that we've targeted for this particular area, and it was the SADC European Union Political Dialogue. The practice has always been that the member states get invited. We've targeted, maybe erroneously so, because this time around the Secretariat decided that they will only invite the Troika, and South Africa is currently not a member of the Troika. Then with regard to our SADC election observer missions, we need to understand that there is a protocol that all member states have signed with the SADC Secretariat. So when the elections happen, the SADC Secretariat will issue a letter to South Africa to say, send us three election observers. Of course, it will come to the minister of our minister, and our minister will then appoint officials from the department to participate or to serve as election observer, because it's a SADC election observer mission. So the four that we've participated in for this quarter, and that brings us to the end of our quarterly or our annual target for that particular one. With regard to international cooperation, which is our multilateral aspect, we have four sub-programs there. The one is on global governance. And so here we're looking at how do we try to negotiate and influence the resolutions and the outcomes of those meetings when we participate in South Africa. We use our ambassadors at those particular areas, we use our counselors, and in some instances we will then have a head office delegation that will travel. But in most instances we try to use our expertise at the missions that have been posted. So for quarter three, we then have our four multilateral meetings. There are two that we've participated in that we didn't target before the time. The one is our membership on the Human Rights Council has now came to an end because we served two consecutive terms back-to-back as a member of the Human Rights Council. That came to an end now with the session of the Human Rights Council. South Africa, of course, will have to then make the decision within 2 years they would want to be voted back or want to be a member again, because it works on a rotational basis and then you have to lobby. But our membership came to an end now. Then with regard to, then we're still serving on the UNESCO Executive Board, and then of course we know that UNGA happens in September, and then we have the six committees during that time where we need to participate. The first committee, for example, is on disarmament and nuclear, and then about the weaponry. So of course we're very committed to the peaceful uses of nuclear weapons, and that is why it's important that as a country we participate in those. The additional one was the Nairobi Summit on the 25th anniversary of the International Conference on Population and Development, and then when South Africa was invited to that particular one. We also had, in terms of our human rights, South Africa was asked, our president was asked to make a pledge in terms of commemorating the 30th anniversary on the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which he has subsequently done. We also received an official country visit of the independent expert on the enjoyment of human rights by persons with albinism that we've received in South Africa, as well as hosting the regional launch of the UN Global Study on Children Deprived of Liberty with the UN independent expert mandate. So South Africa was once again recognized and then requested to participate. With regard to our multi-state processes, our G20, although we targeted in Q2, our country then, that was the lead, our country who was chairing the G20, was achieved in Q1 already. In terms of international positions, we have a no target for Q3, but we're still maintaining the 65 that we reported in Q3. We have no target for continental cooperation because we usually have the AU summit and the mid-year session that we have, and it does not fall within the Q3. However, on the agenda for today is our AU chairing, and our chief director from the AU, as the DG indicated, will be here to talk to the AU. With regard to South-South, once again, negotiate and influence. So we participated, in the minister participated in the NAM summit. Our term for chairing IORA also came to an end because we had a 2-year chairship on IORA in terms of our chairing IORA, and so that was the Council of Ministers. It was also the 110th ACP Council of Ministers. We also know that the discussions are happening around ACP and that the Cotonou Agreement is coming to an end now, end of February. And then, of course, Russia then arranged a Russia-Africa summit. It is not an official AU partnership at this point in time. It was the first of its kind, and not so sure whether it will be institutionalized and whether the AU will consider it as one of the AU partnerships, which also took place during this time. During this period, we also participated in the BRICS summit in Brazil. The BRICS IMC, of course, that IMC was dissolved, so of course we will not achieve that target by the end of the year because we've determined other national processes to track our performance on BRICS. With regard to North-South, we had the 8th South Africa EU Peace and Security Dialogue. We've achieved 2 for the year. The other one was the TICAD that we reported earlier this year. With regard to public diplomacy, our public participation programs that it has been used, and it is that our principals need to talk about our public about our international relations, our foreign policy. So we've achieved 3, and I think we have 3 in Q1 and 6 in Q2, and that is where we get the 12 from. Our media statements, this is our media statements being issued by the department, whether it is when the president travels, when he comes back, when there are certain resolutions made. So we've issued 31 of those during this period. With regard to our stakeholder publications, we do 4 Ubuntu magazines per annum, and we had 1 for this quarter, and then the opinion pieces for this quarter, we also had 4 particular ones that was achieved. And the opinion pieces, for example, the one was written by the minister in the Daily Maverick of 5 November, South Africa committed to women as leaders in global and peacekeeping. So we have those that opinion pieces issued by principals in terms of foreign policy. With regard to our state and protocol and consular services, we have no target in terms of our engagement with the diplomatic corps, and this is particularly as mandated by the legislation, the Act on Diplomatic Immunities and Privileges, that DIRCO needs to manage the diplomatic corps in South Africa. And we usually do that through the issuing of diplomatic IDs, registration of vehicles, and so forth. But we also manage it by having a conversation with them twice a year, just to make sure that we're on the same page and we all adhere to the rules and regulations. With regard to our consular assistance, 165 cases reported during this period, and the legalization, 19,000 of this document legalized. This is one of the only front service delivery that DIRCO has. Honorable members were at the head office building. When you walk in at the bottom, we have the reception area, and that is where the South African public would walk in. They bring their travel documents because they want to travel or they want to go and work abroad, and those documents need to be legalized. So for this period, we processed 19,000 according to our service standards. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Ministers, Honorable Members, DG, this brings me to the end of the non-financial performance information for quarter three.
May I request Ms. Bengu to take the committee through on this part.
Thank you, DG, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, DG, and ladies and gentlemen. I'll take you through the financial reports, which starts on slide number 35. In terms of our expenditure report, our budget for the quarter, or for the projected budget as at quarter three, was 5 billion, and then we actually spend about 4.6 billion of that. And the underspending is seen on administration, which is 26% lower than what has been projected. And also we notice the overspending in international relations of 1% of that. When we look at the compensation of employees in quarter three, we have planned to spend 2.2 billion. But we have spent 2.3 billion, meaning that there is an overspending of 3%. In goods and services, there is an underspending there of about 9%, and we have an overspending again on the interest on monetary payments, which is our PPP contract. Overall, then the department has spent 92% of what was projected in the quarter three. When I move over to slide number six explains what the underspendings and overspendings are for. I've already indicated that the expenditure for the third quarter amounted to 4.6 billion, which is 72% of the appropriated budget, being 6.5 billion. The expenditure in the third quarter is 8% lower than the projected, the result or the lower spending is as a result of the capital projects that we have planned to do for the third quarter but which have not materialized. That is in the area of foreign property portfolio as well as ICT. Honorable Chairperson, if I may indicate on the ICT that the procurement process of hardware is in process. The spending on compensation of employees still remain a concern for the department, as we have spent 2.3 billion, which represents 81% of the compensation of employees' budget. This is higher than the projected, as the department's salary bill is more than the budget that we have as a department. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, in conclusion, I would like to bring to your attention the issue that the department's compensation of employees, our projection is that we will overspend that budget by 245 million. At the moment, at the short-term plan that we have as a department, we have approached National Treasury to request the shifting of funds since we have the lower spending in ICT for us to be able to pay salaries until the year end. But in the long term, we are working on the measures to cap that spending. The second part that we would like to bring to the attention of the committee or honorable committee is that we still have a shortfall, or we are in arrears with SADC membership fee, as we have a shortfall of about 45 million from what we have paid. In that as well, we have approached National Treasury to shift some of this of the savings in the budget for capital expenditure for us to be able to honor our obligation. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. This concludes the presentation on both performance and financial information of our APP 2019-2020 for the third quarter. I submit.
Honorable Bergman, your smile has undertones. Welcome, Honorable Nsane, the Regis. Yeah, Nizile, yes, that is true. I'm sorry. Honorable members, that's the presentation from the department. I'm tempted to say we must take the ARF presentation and then we interrogate both so that we don't sit in long meetings because of these presentations. I read the presentation, I have a plethora of questions, but I'm not going to say anything today. Just want to be quiet, allow members to speak and interrogate the report, because I trust that members also read the report. DJ, can we have the ARF presentation?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and Honorable Deputy Minister. I'm going to request Mr. Matlapo to take the Honorable Committee through for the ARF Quarter 3 report. I thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and our Deputy Ministers, and thank you, DG. I will be doing the performance and financial information for the ARF for Quarter 3. And I will start on page 3. The performance information will provide an overview of the quarterly targets as per our annual performance plan and the strategic objectives of the ARS. And the performance information starting on page 4, the first target that we have is the number of advisory committee meetings, and the target was not achieved in quarter 3, but subsequently the meeting has been held in quarter 4, so the annual target will be achieved. And the second target is the percentage of requests reviewed. So in quarter 3 there were 3 requests for funding that were received, and they were not reviewed in quarter 3 but were subsequently reviewed in quarter 4. The third target, the percentage of approved disbursements processed. These are the disbursements that we process per our strategic objective for the projects that are under implementation. And the first objective being the support of democracy and good governance. And the first payment that was processed was for the peace process in the Kingdom of Lesotho that is being led by the former Deputy Chief Justice Moseneke and our Deputy Minister Mashego Dlamini. The second payment was for the SADC election observer missions. As Ms. Kosa had explained earlier, the SADC sends a request to member countries, and the funding for those observers that South Africa sends come from the ARF. And moving on to page 5, disbursements approved for humanitarian assistance. There were 4 disbursements that were approved, but only 2 were processed for South Sudan and the Kingdom of Eswatini, and there was a non-achievement of 2 which were then subsequently processed in the fourth quarter. And then moving on to the support of for capacity building, there were two disbursements approved, and one was processed for the whole hosting of the annual Women in Dialogue project and the capacity building for the African Ombudsman Research Center was not disbursed in quarter three, but has subsequently been disbursed in quarter four. And moving on to cooperation between other countries, there was one processed payment for the independent boundaries borders. And that then takes us to the financial information.
What's happening then?
So the summary of the statement of financial performance as of 31 December 2019, the annual appropriation for the ARF was 46 million, and investment income from funds that are in the ARF Reserve Bank account was 48 million, and total revenue for the quarter was 94 million. And our expenditure was 45 million, and we had a foreign gain on projects that are in foreign currency of 5.4 million, and the surplus for the period was 55 million. The statement of financial position, the current cash in the bank in the ARF is 908 million. And also we have provisions, these are projects that are currently committed, of 407 million. And we have an amount of 6.1 million that is payable to DERCO, which leaves us with an accumulated surplus of 495 million. And this particular slide is just to show the funds that are currently available for projects to be funded in the fourth quarter. And the available funds that we have is 184 million. And of that 184 million, about 85 million is earmarked for legacy projects for the chairing of the African Union. And the rest will be funded on normal project requests. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
That was nice and short. Honorable Bachman, Honorable Nkosi, Babu Mshweni, Honorable Mpanza, Honorable Sane Dorothy Tletu, Honorable Mwela, in that order. So I'm going to raise on both reports as we manage.
Chair, thanks very much. I just think with regards to the first report, the indicators have become almost a little bit of a whitewash in the sense of what you're trying to monitor. we come to these meetings and then you see that this is what we're looking at, and it's not really getting to the meat of the, you know, what we're meant to be looking at in terms of oversight. I think what we should look at is adding two indicators, DG. The first indicator is the amount of complaints received from countries officially to our missions abroad. So let's say in Brussels, where we've got one of our properties has a generator, where we're using a generator, where we're polluting their country, where the mayor's office has had to, we've embarrassed ourselves by the mayor's office having to complain to us, because since August we're running a generator. We've created our own load shedding in Brussels. Maybe we should have that as an indicator. Maybe where one of the councillors in Portugal attacked a member of the, at the airport, didn't want to be searched. Maybe that should be covered in the report. You know, I think that would be probably more important for us to deal with. In terms of another indicator, I think maybe we should also have complaints against our missions in South Africa. We should have people, countries complaining to DERPA being reported here, the kind of service they get from DERPA, because we get them here. Late communication, non-communication, depending who you are. You know, dare I say, if you're China or you're Russia, you get treated like a VIP. But if you're another country, you it's almost you've got to wait in line.
Where is that?
If you're other country, so I'll say. In South Africa, just dealing with DERPA. So, for me, let's say Haiti. If I remember correctly, we pay for the mission in South Africa. Does Haiti still exist in South Africa? Is it still a mission in South Africa, or is it closed? I'm not sure. But something like the coronavirus, you know, that's something of interest to me in South Africa. For the main, I would say that the argument of whether to bring people back or not is a dispute. In fact, I'm not sure that we have the funds to do it. I'm not sure that it's a debate that has been made. But it is something that we should always be briefed on, the preparedness. You know, there was a report on the 17th of February that 85 students and teachers were brought back. Now, you listen to some media and it shows pictures of these students and teachers coming through the halls of O.R. Tambo. And yes, it's very hush-hush. And it's almost as if DERPA and the ministers and the deputy ministers are unaware of it. They're not involved in it. And it's almost as if the Chinese embassy is not involved in it. And again, there's also risk that, you know, temperature control is not a control to the virus. The virus can stay born in the body for 14 days undetected. So there's still quarantine that requires 14 days. And, you know, does South Africa quarantine our passengers for 14 days coming from China? These are the things that I think DERPA, and not just the Department of Health, needs to brief this committee with. So I would say that our third term quarters and our quarterly reports there and after, I think these are the kind of reports that, you know, these are the kind of indicators that we should also include, just to ensure that we're not just looking at the nice to have, but we're actually looking at the things that assist us in our oversight. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think two things before I come to the actual question. Firstly, in line with what Member Beckman is saying, if the department can brief us on the extent to which they is readiness to engage with the EU as a unit and Britain, because now Brexit is no longer a theory, it's a reality. To what extent are our engagements with the United Kingdom and the EU? And secondly, in that purview, the issue of ALGOA and the classification of South Africa as a non-developmental country and the possibility that we will be exited from ALGOA. What is the impact? And I know that is not something that is in your purview as a department, but as far as bilateral relations are concerned, our ambassador in Washington should be able to
or would be engaged in this issue. So maybe the department should update us also on that one. Now, when it comes to the third quarter report, I put several issues. Firstly, on generic training, and these are workplace skills development plans. Let me just check if this is provided also for people in SCM and finance, because this is an area where previously we have indicated that there are serious difficulties. So do the employees provide their development plans and their shortfalls in SCM and finance? On the third quarter, I think this issue of gender mainstreaming is very important, but the way in which it is reported here is just an interactive dialogue. I think our conception of gender mainstreaming is far deeper than that. We going for teaching that our expectation is that this should reflect what extent do we empower youth, women, in terms of progression in the department, not really in terms of interacting with them. I think it's important to understand what the impact of bullying and workplace pressures are. But that's not our conception. Our conception is quite different. But gender mainstreaming must mean the empowerment of young people, of people with disability, and of women in terms of career development, progression in the department, and how far they are empowered. The next one, I think, check, because I think I'm done with this one. I think we have to go to the IRF. I think in your reporting, you're saying the two missed meetings in the third quarter will take place in the, or did take place in the fourth quarter. But what is important is to understand what the impact is. If the application is meant to be processed in the third quarter, it means the recipients expect funding to be procured for them in that third quarter, not in the fourth quarter. So let's understand what the impact of the delay is for the recipients of this. And what is the competition ombuds? Something like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question on the ARF Advisory Committee is to understand whether the Chairperson has been missing meetings and targets were not achieved, knew about when the meetings would be held, and whether the reasons for being unavailable are weighty enough to then excuse him from such important meetings. And on the coronavirus, I would want to know how JECO is monitoring the welfare of our students or workers that are still in China now, and whether we have those that are quarantined, and if yes, how do you monitor their welfare, because we hear that there's a lockdown. How do they get food? How do they travel? And so on. And how many, if you have that figure, that would help. And at the third quarter report, what is being done to stop the targeting? And that is a strategy to stop the targeting of people with albinism, particularly in Africa, many say for multi purposes. Is there something concrete that is being done to discourage or even stop the targeting of people living with albinism? And when each country wants to chair the Human Rights Council, what is considered before the chairmanship is given to a country? because you have countries where people are complaining about human rights abuses. Now, if a country has members or civilians complaining about abuses in the country, is that considered before a country is allowed to chair the Human Rights Council? And lastly, I want to know whether South Africa has a seat on UNESCO executive board. And if yes, who is on that seat and what is the time frame? Thank you. The term of office.
Hello,
Dalani.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to welcome the presentation and welcome the Chief Deputy Minister of NOAA present. Chairperson, I wonder because Honorable Bedman was not present in our last meeting when we had to withdraw the report and postpone the meeting because we were complaining that what was presented, there is no meat. It was only bones. And not even meat bones. So I'm surprised how did he get that information. Repeat talking about bones, meat again. Which we got not there. Chair, on the indicator, I think this is a friendly advice to our colleagues that going forward, I know now we can't do anything, but please, in future when you develop this, we always said it must be smart principles and you said it. It is much principle, which is fine. But please don't put indicators, lots of indicators of things that you don't have control over. Because when you do that, you are setting yourself for failure and not be able to achieve. So I'm saying going forward, because I could see that some of the things where you are unable to perform or achieve, some of the things are things that you don't have control over. So you can put those that are really, really, but I think you must reduce the number because it becomes a problem. And then on the financial side of things, the report, there's always a principle that you can't spend what you don't have. And I think we must stick to that principle. Otherwise, it creates a problem. Because on the issue of the employment compensation, you planned, but you didn't have. It went beyond what you projected. So maybe there you short circuited yourself in terms of planning. But I want to check what plans are in place, not to repeat the same mistake, besides asking for approval from Treasurer, because I don't think that is a solution. You just want to use the principle of robbing Peter to pay Harry, which is not a good thing. So we can do that thing, but at the end of the day, it catches up with you. So. I think you need to look at that one. It's really like a runaway train. And as there is an emphasis now from government that we must really look at our wage bill. And you can't have an over expenditure. What is more worrying, Chair, is that then they are recommending to use the ICT money to deal with that shortfall. Now, Chair, you remember in the committee, most of the problems that you were faced with were coming from the ICT. Now, the very same critical issue that even the AG raised as a high risk,
you are the ones who are underspending on it, you are overspending on the employee. It doesn't really make logic. And the presenter said the ICT acquiring or procurement process is ongoing. We can't get that kind of an explanation. Something that is ongoing, one specific, where is it in the process? Is it at the adjudication, or I don't know what you mean by ongoing? So I think it's very much important that we just get a clear that okay time frame. Maybe in 2 months time, then we'll have sorted out the ICT thing. Lastly, Chair, on the ARF, we can have a situation when the department is limping. Only the ARF is the one in a healthy financial situation. I don't know, because that one is overseen by the DG himself, and therefore he makes that one is looked after very well. But you can't have a situation where ERF and the cool pennies do it as you want to. This is in a project, in my program, but we need a number. So for the only department, you even achieved an unqualified audit on the ARF, but the department as a whole suffered and it did not get an unqualified. Now, that is not, there's even a surplus in some of the projects, the chairperson. So I think let us be consistent and try to look at the department as a whole and making sure that we improve the financial management and control of the whole department rather than focusing on the ARF only. But the ARF is not a department on its own. So, Chair, that would be my input. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Why are you? I still think if I never met. But Chairperson, on a serious note, the meeting that we held last week or the week before with the department left a very bitter taste in our mouth. And to this point, the reports that we are receiving, we will receive them with a pinch of salt, because it seems like Parliament has been made to be a rubber stamp for this department's spending of money. We are busy endorsing and rubber stamping the department utilizing the funds of the public without having a proper record of what is being done in this department, Chairperson. And as DERCO, as this portfolio committee, we really need to look at what needs to be done. Because currently we are busy approving AMA budget, but we don't see the actual work. When we ask for what has been done, we are only getting indices and not actual work which will have an impact on the lives of South Africans. But if we have to deal here with the report that is here, either way, not that we are given a choice, unless we can take other steps against this department. There are a few questions which remain from the previous term before we can move to the current term, Chairperson. First of all, the accommodation of PAP is not dealt with, and it has not been dealt with unless the department can give us progress to date on what has been done with the accommodation of PAP, because it's costing us money. The embassy of Israel in South Africa and our mission in Israel, nothing has been done unless we can also get progress on what has been done with the embassy of Israel, because our relations with Israel should be made clear as South Africa. We cannot be found wanting. Ubuthi, are we an ally with them or not? So we need a clear line of march with that embassy. We cannot be building relations while we are declaring we don't have relations with that embassy. Number two, Chairperson, I'll just get my thoughts correctly, Chair. With regards, Chairperson, to we were informed in the previous report that there will be an increase in the AU fees, but I don't see that reflecting anywhere. Now that we want to divert 245 million or so to be used on something else, when we were told there would be a deficit of 200 million that we need to cover for the AU fees. Skills performance was done on the department, Chairperson, but we are not hearing anything on the outcome of those. And then also we're waiting for a report from the JCD cluster checking on refugees, their countries and their status. What is the outcome of that? The issue of ICT, Chairperson, I think we have highlighted more than enough. And drastic measures, I hear the presenter telling us that it will be addressed so that by April everything is functioning. So can we make the due date then for the ICT to be resolved to be April, if they can put their necks on the line to promise the committee that by April everything will be done? And then there's a highlight on the report of the relations when it comes to high-level visits. We are having a lot of high-level visits which are just meant to be ticking the box. As this committee, we need to hear, when we have a high-level visit with Togo, what are our expectations? What do we want to achieve as South Africa? And how does that translate to an ordinary citizen of this continent and an ordinary citizen of this country? Because visiting 19 or 10 countries without a main objective of how will that translate to an ordinary people of this continent in this country is not going to be beneficial to us when we are busy spending money. The Russia-African Summit, when we sent our delegation there, what did South Africa want? What did we put forward on the table? That whatever negotiations Russia is bringing, what is our counter to that? And what do we hope to achieve with that relation? Because currently, as South Africa, we really need to look at decolonizing ourselves. It doesn't matter whether it comes economically or we are still oppressed as a human of South Africa. So when we met with the Russia-Africa Summit, what did we put forward as South Africa, and how do we see that being beneficial or in addition to the agenda of the African continent? I see that we are still spending money on humanitarian assistance of Eswatini. I don't think it's a problem, but what I want us to discuss, Chairperson, is what is our long-term goal in this humanitarian assistance of Eswatini? Because we cannot keep protecting the opulent King Muswati while we are busy assisting his population who is oppressed, when we should be hitting the head of the problem of people of Eswatini. We can't keep rescuing a country where we know what is the problem. And us, Eswatini is in our womb. As a female, it's like you have a child that is growing inside you, but this child is infected. You don't want to deal with the infection. You keep curing yourself. So what is our long-term goal as DERCO and this committee to clean this crisis that is happening in Eswatini? Because it's going to become another channel of us looting money through Eswatini, for a lack of a better word. Then there's this annual Women in Dialogue, Chairperson. I raised this quite a number of times, and today we are given a report that we have spent 8 million on this Women in Development in Dialogue for Women in Africa.
I'm a woman in Africa. I lead women in Africa and in South Africa. And to be honest with you, there has been absolutely, absolutely no touching of lives of women in Africa by this AWID. Can we be given proper goals and objectives that have been achieved to date with this 8 million? Because the explanation that is coming here is really substandard for the amount of money that we are spending. We might as well channel this money to something else if it's not going to be used for what it's meant for. There's a lot of meeting with investors, especially on the main report, page 18, Chairperson. Yes, we meet investors. Yes, we collect the money. Yes, we are putting South Africa up on the globe. But it all needs to translate to what objectives do we have to develop South Africa and the African continent as DERCO. Our meeting with investors eventually has got to translate to action, that this investment, this is where it is assisting the African continent and South Africa. Poverty levels are increasing in the whole continent, not just South Africa. And yes, we are busy meeting with investors. These investors will later want to put us in an unending debt as a country, where we will keep on owing them for things which an ordinary South African does not benefit. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Chair, thank you. And greetings to honorable members and the leadership from the department led by the honorable deputy ministers. Well, Chair, being the last person to speak, always I'm a victim. Yes, before you, Chair. And anybody victim. But however, let me align myself with other honorable members who came before me to raise a number of issues. My worry, Chair, is that some of the issues that I'm going to raise here, we have raised those issues even in the previous report. And we even advised the department, the honorable deputy minister, to say this is what we think as a portfolio committee should happen and so on and so on. But to my surprise that some of the issues are coming back again with the same approach, and I don't know how I want to attend to those issues. As Honorable Musane was saying, that it might not be seen as if, as honorable members, we just come here to approve something that we are not going to make to hold the department accountable on those issues. In problem one, we're speaking about the issue of ICT, especially on the issue of, we have raised this matter in the previous report to say, because the department in their presentation, they raised the issue of not achieving 100% in terms of 30 days payment. And one of the critical issues that they are raising there is the issue of ICT and so on. Now, DG, the honorable members have raised the matter, and we have said even in the previous report that you need to modernize your ICT process or program, so that it can be easy for you to facilitate the process and so on, so that you cannot delay your payments and so on and so on. Now, we don't get the sense exactly how far are you in terms of developing this process or this system, so that you can be able to move with speed in terms of achieving this target. And we've raised this matter. even in the previous report. And the department promised that when you come back again, this would have been achieved. By my worry that not yet achieved 100%. Now, Mr. Nkosi asked a question on the issue of the general training, SCM. All the problems, or most of the problems, Deputy Minister, we have raised those issues again with the department. If you can check all your reports, most of the issues that are problematic come from the supply chain management. In a nutshell, now the training that you have as a department, as Mr. Nkosi was asking, is also part of SCM and so on, because I even remember a CFO. You even said one of the problems that we have, you'll find that a junior official is actually doing some of the work that must be supposed to be done by probably a senior official, which was a problem. And you might find that that person is not trained to do that particular job or to take that responsibility. Now, can we be clarified on that aspect? And if, do you have a training also for senior managers? Does it include them here or not? Because you'll find that even some of the senior managers, honorable members and the deputy ministers, probably need training. Does this training also include them? Now, on the issue of ARF again, Honorable Musane put it very nicely, especially on the issue of AWID. This was raised again previously. Now, I'm even tempted to ask through the chair, if is this the Zanele Mbeki Foundation or not? that is running this program. Is this the Zanele Mbeki? Can it be answered? And I can see we're saying probably on the issue of payment in Namibia, Nanang, and so on, we're saying we have paid probably one payment was processed and then the other one should be processed in this in the fourth quarter and so on. What is the impact on that? If the target was for the third quarter and then probably payments will be processed in the fourth quarter, what is the general impact? Will it impact negative in your financial issues or not? On the issue of non-availability of the chair, again, it was raised previously. My question is, do we consult the chair before convening those meetings or not, or is just an ordinary, is just an honest sabotage to the chair and so on? Because it also reflects negative. If we will say we did not achieve this target because of non-availability of the chairperson. So, can we be taken on board on that one? These are the issues that I thought I must come in and raise them, Chair. But my worry is that, as I've said earlier on, Honourable Deputy Ministers, we have advised the department on some of the issues that we are raising today. We have said 1, 2, 3, 4, this is how we think must be done and must happen and so on. But today, again, I'm coming back here to raise the same issues which were not which the department did not achieve based on the reasons probably that they are raising here. So I think in moving forward, as the whip was indicating earlier on, that we must identify our target correctly so that we don't just target something that we will not be able to achieve. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, thanks for your question. Hoping today there was an answer, because it has become a norm that responses don't come forth when we ask questions. We must be worried that Honorable Chetty is not interested in asking questions from your, from you. The issue of the 30-day period payments at DG, it has emanated on our, from our legacy report. It was 2010, and now we are 2020. So for a decade have not managed to get this right. Do you deserve to be here in this department? Do you? Now 2020. If you don't have systems, something which was raised from the onset when we were interacting with you and interfacing with you at DERCO, the issue of squandering of monies of the department becomes the order of the day. Are you not implementing this because you are enjoying yourselves in terms of stealing the money of our government? How far are you with the processes of appointing an expert? Remember, you reported here that you are in a process of appointing an expert on ICT-related things. How far are you with that process? Are you dragging the process because you're still enjoying the smarties and the sweets that you're giving to yourselves, you officials and your parents? Because it can never be that we allow a situation which is in actual fact compromising to small businesses, because they are the most affected. Not only in the department, you deal with the big guns, which I saw in that Ubuntu Awards. Then we must not be worried. In Ubuntu Awards of the big guns of the country, that it was. And seeing is believing. No justification will convince me otherwise when it comes to that, but we are not there today. Your advocacy programs, none of them you have achieved. None. And they are very crucial to our society, social cohesion in our country, nation building, and what have you. But you achieved none. What is this department about? Probably must be good today. What is this department all about if women and gender mainstreaming is not achieved, youth development not achieved, access for people living with disabilities not achieved? What are you about in this department? You must tell us. On state visits, was there any unauthorized expenditure or violence done? Because we have achieved more than you have planned for. Trade and investment seminars. You planned 28, you achieved only 16. I want to know who is responsible for this. I want to know who is a responsible personnel for this. Because you can't plan 28 and not achieve anything. When you speak trade and investment, which is very crucial to our country, which can also contribute to the economy of this very country immensely. But you plan 28. Was there no confirmation already? How was the planning done? How was it done? The other one was not as economic diplomacy is affected because the reason is unavailability of stakeholders. How did you plan? You planned with whom? With ghosts? Well, when you plan with stakeholders, not with ghosts or some robots, because you're going to press a remote and then robots will go from left to right, front, forward, and what have you. You plan with whom? If you're going to talk unavailability of stakeholders here, and how was our economic diplomacy affected by the whole thing? Tempted to say nonsense, but I think it's unparliamentary to say that. You observe our missions. Who does this? Why was the committee not involved? The committee was not involved. You excluded the committee. The same way you excluded the committee in that party of heads of missions. You excluded us. And we are responsible for oversight. And when we go there, we discover all your shenanigans. The same way we discovered your shenanigans in New York, which are tantamount to stealing and squandering of the monies of this country, stealing them in dollars this time around. Now, you don't involve the portfolio committee in such a magnitude event. As if we don't exist. We exist and we bite, and we shall bite until the next election. Then you must be guaranteed. Can exclude us, there's no turning back, we shall bite. And we're going to hold the department accountable because it's our responsibility to do that. You must tell us why we were not invited there. We want to know. We want to know why. In your report on the UN Human Rights Council, there's abstainment there. Just imagine. The whole country, such a big country in our continent, human rights issues in Venezuela, you abstain. We must know the reasons why. You must tell us today. The whole Venezuela, you abstain. Syria, you abstain. Burundi, you abstain. Knowing the position of the country and the position of the ruling party in this country, what it is, must tell us. Not interested in random sense today. I'm a politician, not a pastor, me. So I'm more interested to know, because that's our core business, that's why we're here, some of us, because we're politicians. So whilst we're holding you accountable on corruption and other things, also we must know what's happening in our continent and around the globe on political issues which are led by this department. ARF. DJ, when are we having SADPA? We are asking this question for the last time today. We've been asking this since the beginning of this portfolio committee, after we received the legacy report and the briefing by the department, and we raised our views very clear. When are we having SADPA? We must know, because it's important that we know. ARF, the slash fund of the department. Page 4. What is military ombudsman project? Unpack it. We want to know. The proposal to assist Sarah House it could not be processed because of the unavailability of the chair. When are we having a COO in this department? Chief Operations Officer, when are we having that? Because this one-man show phenomenon is problematizing the entire department. We've raised this issue from the beginning that in your organogram, there is no way that you can have a Chief Operations Officer. Otherwise, everything will lie on the shoulders of the DG. Is it correct? When are we having the COO? Page 5. Capacity building human resources development for the Office of the Public Protector, African Ombudsman Center, Tolima Donzela. Is Tolima Donzela the Office of the Public Protector? Is she the Office of the Public Protector? Then what are the balance of forces here on this project? Is the Public Protector's office currently in charge of this project? Who is responsible for it? Who? Is this current office aware? Or the incumbent in that office now aware of this project? That we want to know today. So, you are going to come here during budget, and you expect this committee to rubber stamp your budget with all these flaws. All the flaws that are there and what the AG has raised in numerous occasions, you will come here and want us to rubber stamp your budget. We are not going to approve it, that budget. DMs, you must know. We are not going to approve the budget of the department until consequence management is done. we've raised a number of issues. We've raised issues about the branch finance, the AG raised issues about that. Nothing has been done. From today onwards, you must know, we are not going to approve your budget. We are going to collapse it. Because you think that we are puppets of the department. We are not puppets of the department. And will never be. We are not going to approve this budget. If you take money from ICT, meaning you have no interest of achieving this thing since 2010. Instead, when you are overspending there, underspending here, shortfalls here, and what have you, you tap from the ICT and patch with that budget. Because you don't want this thing to be in operational in that department. And continuously, we must have reports of mismanagement of funds, reports of monies which are charged by rats there in South Sudan. Always, monies they get missing because you don't want to have ICT systems. Now rats are charging man because of that. And now you want rats to go and chow money there in the US. And these rats have 2 feet, 2 eyes, a mouth, they can talk, they can write, they can do anything, those rats. Very sad. And if it was a politician involved, the whole legal fraternity of this country would have known about it long, long, long ago. And you want us to sugarcoat your rot? Never. It's not going to happen this time. Honorable Bergman is right when he says we must be briefed about Corona. We can't watch the news and hear about Corona when the ambassador of China is singing Kilo Kilo about Corona. Yes, it's under control. We see there people are quarantined. Robots are like waiters and waitresses in that place. They can knock on the doors, deliver food, deliver medication, those robots. Because China is advanced in technology, truth be told, and we must accept it. It's very fascinating. But we must have an official briefing about it. Don't even know when you greet the ambassador of China and have that ambassador, Corona is not emerging now on you. I'm worried that I greeted him there in the Ubuntu Award, probably like Corona myself. I'm too young to die. My future is too bright. Can't be killed by Corona. Teaching. Because you don't want to trip us on Corona and its shortcomings and the dangers that are there. And what to expect. Are we expected to walk around with masks in our faces? Want to know, information is power. Let's bet about this sort of thing. Won't say anything. I was there in December. I expressed many things there, Honorable Nsan. When the wife of the king comes to a hotel and wants to swim, all of you are embargoed to enter the swimming pool and you've paid. But I love the hotel, I guest. But if those ones want to swim, there's an embargo on you as a guest. You can't swim there when that one wants to swim. That's what you are subjected to there. I expressed that in certain, but I refused to be dictated to, because I'm from a democratic country myself, South Africa. I had to go and buy a swimsuit very quick, and I entered the swimming pool before Isha arrived myself. Yeah, and I took pictures and I posted them on Instagram. Because I have a right to a swimming pool, I have paid, and I have my guest of a hotel. Can't be stopped by police. The whole Federation of Foreign International Affairs of Foreign Affairs of South Africa stopped. I refused. So I don't want to say many things about Eswatini. Because our Eswatini is our child. They are our children. But what I have experienced there, DJ, I wanted to come home the next day, but my conscience wouldn't allow me. I had to remain there for the whole week. And I've learned a lot today, Honorable Deputy Minister Alvin. That, by the way, at Clicks probably can have the photo of our president. The same way those ones have a photo of the king and the mother of the king at Clicks. Very shocking. Clicks. Clicks. Not a state building. Clicks. Learned a lot. So we learn when we visit these countries. Some lessons are shocking, but necessary for you to note as a person, so that you know, you learn from them. Now, teaching, undocumented foreign nationals are killing our men in uniform. The Minister of Police went to bury a police officer killed by an undocumented foreign national. People were kidnapped in KwaZulu-Natal, undocumented foreign nationals. Your Department in Home Affairs means I'm married. What are you doing? Why do you have an increase on the influx of foreign nationals entering our country? When our people retaliate, we are going to cry xenophobia. We are brothers and sisters, don't do this. And they come to our country through backdoors illegally, they kill us. Why do we want to be reactive on such serious matters? Why are we not proactive? Don't you know the notion that prevention is better than cure? Are you not familiar with that? So, really today, we don't want ourselves to a piece of paper in a big fight like this. We come to a meeting, there's a big fight in front of you. I have not yet enrolled for my PhD, so don't behave as if you are my supervisor for PhD. Drop files in my desk. If I enter, I'm scared because the supervisor put a file in front of me. So I'm going to allow you to respond. And you must respond very fast. Because abanye abantu who ask the questions here, they must rush to other meetings. Through you. Your people must respond.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, I don't know if one of my principals would like to take the floor. say something or I should go on?
Demo chora le meeting. Ditiko responda abantu bakho.
Honorable Chair.
And then of course I'm back upon that date unanimously.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, I'm going to try to go straight to two issues and allow my colleagues and then I'll take others. I believe that of all, maybe one should start with coronavirus as it is pertinent. I would like to inform this committee that we are doing all we can to ensure that our citizens in China are taken care of. Our mission in Beijing and our embassy in Beijing and our consulate general in Shanghai have been all busy, and I must indicate that it was a big challenge that we are one of those countries that when citizens travel or go abroad, they are under no obligation to register, so that when an event like that comes, we can easily qualify and know who is in, who is out. The first thing was to locate South African citizens. I'll focus on the citizens in Hubei province and the Wuhan city as the epicenter of this virus. That we do have an estimated figure of 165 students in Wuhan and about 54 teachers there. This is what we have quantified. We tried through our mission to reach out. We created a WeChat group to at least identify who is where, and that's what we achieved, because we were able to locate most of the people in Wuhan and Hubei, which enabled us then to even check their health status. And the recent information we have is that to date no one has been infected yet. This is a city that is on full lockdown, which has some unintended consequences, such as some basic supplies may not be in adequate supply. In instances where we were able to know exactly, for example, in one instance, we were able to get chronic medication out of Hong Kong for use by one of the students. I will not comment on the domestic front, whereby we have activated matrons, because this is a structure that we normally use when there is a matter of this magnitude, so that should there be repatriation, some call evacuation, we could know exactly where, how, and what. That contingency plan is in place, but a decision has not been arrived at. We have also noted that the Chinese ambassador has been very active, communicating on our behalf sometimes, and as recent as yesterday, we did not do too much, but we invited him to the department to discuss some of the elements, and we have successfully informed him that he's at liberty to talk about the country, what they are doing, what is happening, but he should spare us that we should be able to know how we can go about it as a country. As I speak now, the mission in Beijing has been closed down because you cannot guarantee that people in train and whatever means of transport are used, who is infected, who is not. As there is a short supply, especially of masks and other related, and they are working from home, which makes it very difficult sometimes to collect information. We do receive daily updates from the mission about both the numbers of infections and the state of our citizens, as well as all other related matters. And should there be a decision of evacuation, all things have been said to do that, as this would be a matter that would need the cooperation of all. In our case, we are learning that when you quarantine people, you have to have a court order. You don't just do it like that. So we have made mechanisms that all should be made aware that should that eventuality arise, they have to sign consent forms so that whoever may have to be taken out of China would agree that he's been taken out of one quarantine to another, because the incubation of this virus, we are told, is 14 days. But what if a person gets infected on the 14th day?
Why do I want to
not in case, we said in case, which is to address the earlier question of whether we will bring them or not. But for now, we are happy that they say, were informed by the ambassador that there are recoveries. Of course, they are not they are very minimal, but there is hope. Our preference is that people should be there, quarantined, and we're negotiating that. If there are problems of supply, and there are supplies which can come out of our country, consignments could be arranged, but the lockdown means that there's very strict measures to enter Hubei province and Wuhan city in particular. As recent as yesterday before I came here, we received another difficult situation where some 12 members of a crew in a cruise in Yokohama, Japan, have actually asked us for intervention, and we know that there are infections in that cruise. And they were asking whether they could be evacuated or not. We're still discussing with health about what should be done. The other thing is that there were arrivals 2-3 days ago. We saw it on media, which scared us, all of us. As honorable members will know, that China is a vast country, and some of the provinces are not having the lockdown in their level that it is in Hubei, and therefore these movements are movements. And here it may be beyond our control. It will depend on how our immigration services. What I'm saying is that I got scared when I realized that arrival. But the point is that they will not have come through us. It was not our state, because the information was that they were brought by us. But yesterday, I also tried to go to the international side to check how actually are we sure, because there could be an aircraft from Dubai, and a person could have managed to elope from China. And I just wanted to check how you get asked, and they say, are you from China? Do you go to China? Then you can pass. And I said, no. A passport needs to be looked into to check the movement if we are to prevent this disease. I would like to conclude by saying we are seized with this matter. We are monitoring it from China. We are in touch with our mission. And as soon as there is any new information, we get informed. But we are, of course, not very... I'm just done now. Okay. So, as they prepare themselves, I would like to acknowledge before the committee that yes, this third quarter report is part of the 2014-2019 strategic plan, MTSF, and we acknowledge the efficiency of our indicators and targets. And as honorable members will recall, it was only from 2014 that we were able to have to craft indicators in compliance with the framework, and in anticipation that the AG was to start auditing performance information. And at that point in time, indeed, we are submitting that it is how you see the principle is that you cannot change the ministry, which is why the current one, which will be tabled before this committee, honorable committee, and which of course this committee will engage. We have taken all efforts, and we are still taking input as we are about how we frame first objectives, because we have to start with the objective, and then you create an indicator out of it on the SMART principles, and how in this area of work, which is basically qualitative rather than quantitative, how do you measure yourself through SMART principles. That one is accepted thing that it is always a shame. Last week when I was presenting to the minister's meeting, I was having to explain the number of meetings as we do. But this is what our APP, based on the strategic plan 2015-2020, is, and we are in the process of finalizing, and on this Friday we'll be presenting to the executive, and then we'll be tabling for the committee to see whether we have not improved in this area. And we have tried all our best to ensure that our indicators and targets are actually improved to the extent that we will report much better. But at least we are happy that in spite of the flaws, we were able to be found to have had it reliable in terms of the Auditor General performance audit, and that's why we are not qualified in this area. But we don't take pride in not having been qualified on very rudimentary such as what we have here. I'll now hand over to my colleagues, and I'll take those other questions when they are done. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Deputy Ministers, DJ, Honourable Members, I'll go through some of the questions. Just to go back to what DJ said in terms of the target setting, with regard to the complaint, we have a complaint mechanism in place, but what perhaps we could do is that when we come to report in our quarterly report, we can then bring back those, because we have a complaint mechanism in the department. So perhaps we can put a report together the next time that we come and not necessarily have it as a standalone indicator within the department. And with regard to the generic skills development training, two of the trainings, for example, that relate to supply chain and finance management was the public management BIT committee's training, as well as the asset management workshop that was included in the quarter three training. So to the question in terms of does the generic skills training include our supply chain and our finance officials, yes, it does. And all officials in the department do sign a performance agreement, and the annexure to the performance agreement is the personal development plan, where everybody needs to list their training needs, and from there the WSP is compiled, and then depending on the budget, the training is then offered. With regard to the gender mainstreaming, yes, I note that, of course, it shouldn't just be an interactive dialogue. However, once again, we do have an equity report that we submit, which then gives us a sense in terms of distribution according to rank levels, salary levels, and career level. So the committee would want to then have an equity report, then of course we would be able to then get that available, not taking away from the fact that maybe the way we target gender mainstreaming should not only be an interactive dialogue. So yes, we would be able to do that. With regard to does South Africa have a seat on the UNESCO board, the executive board, that term expired in November 2019, which was the term of this report. The ambassador in France normally sits as the South Africa representative on there. This time around, we didn't go for re-election. However, South Africa opted to serve on the World Heritage Committee of UNESCO, now not on the UNESCO Executive Board, as that term came to an end. Agree where the statement is made that we shouldn't put indicators where you don't have control. We've learned the hard lesson that as far as possible where you have control. The balance is normally that some of those not in your control, yet there is a budget expense. So how do you then balance in terms of your plan plus your budget? So, but we're trying to navigate this troublesome waters at this point in time.
With regard to the high-level visit and the objectives, maybe it's an omission, or maybe it is the way we report, but maybe what we can do next time is when we report that we had a high-level visit with Nigeria, that we're not just saying that we had the high-level visit, but then the report, it will take us a little bit longer, but then to say, these were the key objectives, the meeting took place, these ones were achieved, these ones were not achieved, and the reasons why we're not achieved. So it's an omission on our part, the information is available, and so we will then make sure that next time we will get that substance in terms of that report. With regard to the training we've answered, in terms of the trade and investments, who should be held accountable, I have a list, and if the chair will allow me, I can quickly go through the missions that didn't host their trade and investment seminars, as well as the reasons for it. We have two in Beijing. The one was an investment roundtable seminar in Beijing, and the other one was to the Jiangxi province. Scheduling difficulties, they will do it in quarter four, but now with the coronavirus, I can already see that that is not going to happen. There was one in Damascus where they had to host an import and export trade roundtable. That one was postponed to quarter four because our head of mission didn't present his credentials as yet. One in Burkina Faso, it was a multi-sectoral international fair in Ouagadougou. That one was not hosted due to, they say yes, terrorist activities, but it's a bit unstable at the moment at this point in time, so it's those countries. Then we had Harare, it was the Motor Industry Association annual conference. This was cancelled, of course, due to the economic situation in Zimbabwe at the moment. Egypt, Africa Forum, hosted normally by Egypt.
Sorry, Mark, did you? That thing must be emailed to Lubabal. Agro decided not to put it in your report. You said this thing will bring a high-level report to the portfolio committees, disadvantaging you. Now, we must dig information, and then we try our time when you respond. Can that list be sent to the committee secretary for our ordinary portfolio committee to look at it so that you respond to other issues, please?
Honorable Chair, DG, that concludes my aspect. I'll pass on to Ms. Fingers.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Committee Members, I'm here with the information letter. There was a question around COE.
There are two questions from that quarterly report that have not been answered. You are welcome.
There was a question on COE which was saying what are the plans in place in terms of us having the COE in the long term. Currently the department has is busy with a plan. One of the methods that is there, we have offered an early retirement without penalty when National Treasury and DPSA have been approached in terms of that. So we are awaiting the response from DPSA and National Treasury in that regard. There are officials who have taken up that offer. We have about 10 of them who have taken up that offer. Secondly, we are adjusting our foreign allowance, which then the exercise also has been now has been submitted to DPSA, because if you adjust our foreign allowance, we need to then get an approval from DPSA in conjunction with National Treasury. There are two letters that the department has written to DPSA following up the requests that we have done with them. Secondly, we are also looking at the foreign allowance benefits, as to which benefits can be looked by the department and then taken out based on the UN norm. So this is the exercise currently that we are working on,
However, some of the things that are in that basket will need the department to go to the bargaining council through the DPSA. So that is the exercise that is currently in place, taking place to look at that basket as to which things can we take out based on the, we are basing our baseline on the UN norm. The last thing that the department is also looking at is rationalization of missions. The rationalization of missions at this stage, what we are looking at is to reduce the numbers of officials that are in missions. There are missions where we have identified in that regard, and also we are looking at also bringing down other post levels in terms of the officials that are abroad. So those are the main things that are on the table that the department is working on. Discussions were had with National Treasury, however now we are concretizing the plan and putting time frames in that plan, and we will have a final discussion with National Treasury on that. So that is a long-term exercise that we are working on as a department. On ICT, the question was, where is the process on procurement of hardware? The process is already at the Departmental Bid Adjudication Committee. There was a tender, there was evaluation, there was bid evaluation, now it's bid adjudication that is finalizing the process, which then we, as soon as that process is done, well, then the next step will follow. The other question that I will look at is the increase in AU. The question was why this has not been...
Ms. Bengo. The question on ICT was about the appointment which you came here and reported about. Not hardware. We don't want hardware. How far? We've got nothing to do with hardware ourselves. The appointment which you came and reported about here on the ICT, where is that process? Of the expect. Where is that process? That's one. Two. When are you implementing this thing? We don't want to know about hardware. We want time frames which are realistic and a true reflection of what should unfold in the department. That's it.
Honorable Chair, the appointment of the CIO is in progress, and the first round was conducted in November and could not produce a suitable candidate, and a follow-up process is underway. I should believe that it is concluded. It has not yet been submitted for approval, but it is at an advanced stage.
So why do you want to procure equipment when you are in a process of appointing an expert? What if the expert comes and says that equipment is not suitable for what you want to do? How are you doing that? If that process is on an advanced stage.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the equipment that you are referring to is the desktops and laptops, part of which we have had an ongoing tender because they were rented once and wanted to move to a stage where we have repurchased. And it is this one that we believe it is not going to affect the incoming CIO, as it is the equipment that is used by individuals. What we would require the expert to deal with is the actual infrastructure that is which will await that stage, because it, while we have identified what the requirement, this is the obsoleteness that is affecting what we have spoken about. But with regard to the equipment, as we speak here, we are in trouble because we have not been able to have them in the last 5 years, and it is a problem. No, we had an existing contract, Honorable Chair, and the first time around when we procured, we could not, there were some issues that we could not find any suitable, I can't recall the exactness, but it was going to be regular in the manner that it would have done. And we are now circumspect when we deal with these things to ensure that if there is an anomaly either in the specification that could have potentially caused problems on this irregularity, we have had to cancel and re-advertise. And this is exactly what we did in order to be full compliance with whatever requirements that need to be put. As honorable members will recall, that the source of our irregularities arose from whereby we were, may not have been very consistent in how we evaluate and how we adjudicate. So there's this danger of when you try to do something better, another may suffer. And it is in this case that this one has happened that way.
When at the end, in responses four times, there were processes could not be concluded. They did not find a suitable candidate. They did not find a suitable person to provide computers. They processes they are put and then they don't find. It can only be in a situation where officials have interest that you will reverse processes and re-advertise and do this and that, and then delay the whole process. It can only be when officials have interest of 10%, 20%, 5.5%, and what have you. That thing must be investigated. In these responses, five times, I don't know whether you are listening now, five times, processes were there, no suitable candidate. Processes were there, no suitable service provider. Processes were there. I mean, really, we can't go on like this. It can't. We can't be subjected to that thing. You see, one shoshulangati, we are going to chase you out of these boardrooms of parliament without presenting your garbage, because you are doing it consistently. And we've been patient with you. Last time you did the same thing. Today you come here, you do the same thing. Enough is enough. Can never be. Never. ICT, since 2020 now. But still, you are narrating a story, opening an egg one, as if your kids want to sleep. No, it can't happen, that thing. It can never happen again. Never. Never. We are going to have our ordinary portfolio committee without you, and we are going to take decisions for you. And we are going to communicate those decisions with the minister. We are going to do that because it can never be that every time you come here, last time they brought a management report instead of a department report, without approval, they brought to the portfolio committee. Because they take us for granted. Reports, they come from the record of management and they are presented here in the portfolio committee without the approval of the DG. The DG knows nothing about it. They are now sitting with a letter from the former minister of this department because of their lies. And that letter is sent to me as the chairperson of the portfolio committee. This one, of the department, DM. Now, you must assist us as principals. Otherwise, we can't go on like this. Too much now. Too much. Please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, we have realized that we are not standing tall in the department. The department is not standing tall. And the reason being that have got career diplomats in the department, and we also demand them to be administrators at the same time, which is very difficult. So we have realized that with the minister that we are running a department which is a waiting room for people waiting to be deployed. So now we are trying our best to create a department. We're trying our best to create a department, because if we have got a DDG is waiting to be deployed. So whatever decision that we are taking, it might not be implemented because that person in 2 months' time now is deployed as an ambassador somewhere. So now that was the culture in the department. So now we are starting afresh. Please bear with us. We are starting afresh to build a department that will be accountable, that will be always there. As much as we'll be having career diplomats, but at the same time, we must also have officials that will have the knowledge, keeping the administrative knowledge of the department, which it does not exist as we are speaking. So that's what we discovered. So now, the span of control in terms of the Public Service Act becomes so difficult, because a desk so-and-so is running his department, is going to the minister direct, which we said is not a department like that. A DDG, as much as is running a desk, a line function, is not a department in a department, but they are accountable to the accounting officer. So that's why sometimes we receive reports that are not even via the DG. So bear with us, members. We try our best. In fact, we're all shocked. We have been in government the rest of our time, but we're all shocked what is happening. But we're trying our best to instill administrative ethics in the department, accountability in the department, let alone accounting about what is happening in country A and Z, but accounting of the department itself, so that we can manage those people that are dealing with country A up to Z. So we're trying our best with the minister and ourselves. I'm also given that responsibility to sort the administration. It's a very difficult terrain, I must say, a very difficult terrain, but we're trying ourselves to make sure that it needs to be intact and become a department. On the issue of the supply chain, you know how the AG has indicated things, which means we don't have capacity at that level. So it might happen, because we're still waiting for the report this Friday, it might happen that the ICT that is dwindling, it is because the departments, the officials want to do themselves, whereas they don't have capacity of ICT. We're sitting here, we've been appointed last year, but I'm holding my own iPad. It's not a departmental iPad. I'm holding my own phone, we're holding our own gadgets. We never receive any gadgets from this department because it keeps on not doing so. Ours now to connect to them, that's where we realize that there's a problem. For our system now to connect to them is a problem. Sometimes a month ends without getting emails. It breaks and all that. So ICT is a problem in the department. So we're trying our best. The minister has advised the department that let's get a person who has got a know-how, so that when we put an ICT system, we put the best of the best as it is of this time. Because even in the missions, we're quite aware that we've got a problem, even in most of our missions around. So So bear with us. Of course, you are members of parliament. We need really to account, but I need to declare that really we're trying our best. We're trying our best work for these difficulties that are there. On the issues of the overexpenditure on the compensation, it's a historic matter. We find it there. But we want to try to have our officials to deal with this matter. Mrs. Benz has just presented the long-term issues that we need to do. We have set around ourselves, the DG and the CFO and the whole section, to look at the short-term. What is it that we can do for now so that we start to reduce for this financial year that we must not really at the end of the day we come up with an accrual of 240 million. We are staggering our deployment of our diplomats, as they have indicated that they are trained. Now they need to go to the missions now. So we have just requested them to stagger them, not to send them at a go, because it will really have problems. We're also planning to do the headcount. We are not sure that who is who where in the zoo. So we feel that we need to do head count and to be sure that what we are paying are people that are physically there. Because I suspect, well, I've been in big departments in my lifetime, I suspect that we might be paying people who are running businesses somewhere and all that. But I think the head count will tell us that how many people we have, are we paying the right people. The other issue that we are investigating as well is when we deploy a DDG to be an ambassador in a post of a chief director. You see, that's another mismatch that we are having, that a DDG is taking a post in a position of a chief director, voluntarily so, but he doesn't want to go down to be the chief director. But he's still earning as a DDG. To me, it's a mismatch, because the budget that is in that mission, the head of the mission is a chief director. But now we're bringing a DDG with that bigger salary. So these are some of the things that the minister wanted us to look at and see what mechanism we can really do to try to sort out the issue of the compensation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will start with the question on the AWID. The conference is the African Women in Dialogue, and it is hosted by the Zanele Mbeki Foundation. The conference for 1,000 delegates was in November, and that payment was for the hosting of that particular dialogue for 1,000 women from 53 African countries. And I'll then answer the question of the African Research Ombudsman Center. The chairperson of the African Ombudsman...
What was the first organization of Mbeki? Is this the same one?
Yes, it's the Zanele Mbeki Foundation, but the conference is called the Annual Women in Dialogue Conference.
The other one was what? Have they changed names?
No, they have not changed names. The organization is the Zanele Mbeki Foundation, and the name of the conference is the African Women in Dialogue.
Their last conference was what?
No, it was the same conference.
Okay.
The current public protector is the chairperson of the African Ombudsman Research Center, and the funds are being transferred to the office of the current public protector. And the question on the projects that were deferred to the fourth quarter being the military ombudsman. So the military ombudsman is a military ombudsman of South Africa, and they were coming to the ARF to present a project to request funds to do advocacy work on establishment of military ombudsman within the SADC region. So that project was considered in the fourth quarter. And the Republic of Saharawi, the project was for additional food supplies for the camps in Western Sahara. And on the question of the Eswatini project, the project has been concluded. It was for the food supplies of children between the ages of 3 and 5. And the project has come to an end, and that was the last disbursement for that particular project. And the other question on the impact of payments being deferred from the fourth quarter, from the third quarter to the fourth quarter, yes, they had a negative impact on Rand Water, which is our implementing agent. But subsequently, that was a challenge that happened in December, and it was resolved in January.
August, you gave Zanele Mbeki Foundation a grant or a loan?
A grant
of how much? And why are you sponsoring them now? What happened to the grant?
Honorable Chairperson, the overall application that was approved for the Zanele Mbeki Foundation was 37 million. And the first drawdown was for preparatory work for the conference, which was the payment that was recorded the last time when we were here. So the 8 million was a payment for the accommodation and for the actual conference facility. So it was the same conference, it was just paid in tranches. The issue of the Competition Commission proposal was around they were requesting funds for doing training for other competition commissions on the continent in preparation for the African Free Trade Area on the issues of cartels and on the issues of data and how competition commissions can use information collectively in various countries on investigations that were done by companies that, by multinationals that are operating in various countries. And, Chairperson, I think those are the questions that I will answer, and I will leave to my superiors.
Was there a committee that set and approved the Zanele Mbeki Foundation 37 million? Was there a request which was submitted to that committee for the proposal of the 37 million for the Zanele Mbeki Foundation?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. There was a request that was submitted to the ARF Advisory Committee by the Zanele Mbeki Foundation together with the Women Chief Directorate at DERCO, and that proposal was adjudicated and a recommendation was made to the Minister of DERCO and the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of DERCO then made a recommendation to the Minister of Finance for funding of the project, and that is the approval process of the ARF.
Okay.
Is it normal for the officials to submit requests on behalf of foundations in this department?
Yes, Honorable Chair. The process by procedure by which project proposals are conducted is that they should identify the relevant business unit that is aligned to the purpose for which this is applied. It is all in the mechanism itself, and that's how it is brought up to be considered by the advisory committee, which in turn recommends to the minister, and minister recommends to the minister of, agree with the minister of finance, and then once they approve, it is implemented as such.
When are you establishing that?
Can I then proceed, Honorable Chair, to that question in particular? Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, as we reported previously, SADBA was registered as a government component, but after deliberations from this committee, we're exploring at, for example, deregistering SADBA as a government component and instead proceed with the legislative process for the South African Development Partnership Fund Bill, which was there but was never able to be processed at departmental level. It has since been, and then it will be referred back to cabinet, and after the cabinet process, it becomes the baby of this honorable portfolio committee. And this will bring in line, we believe, the manner and the way in which the committee was looking at, because at the moment SADBA was created as a component without having repealed the ARF, which is a different stature of statutory creature, because the current ARF is in terms of an act of parliament. To repeal it and have a structure in which the envisaged SADBA should do, then this bill has to come through. So in our response in the PRRR, we have actually responded in that way to say...
Don't enter on that PRRR response. Don't even mention it.
Thank you.
It was very bad.
You're welcome.
We're not there now.
Okay.
We're not there. The process of deregistration, time frame.
Where I'm seated, Honorable Chen, Deputy Ministers and committee members, I will not be in a position to determine the time frame, but we take note that to deregister it from the Public Service Act is a process dependent on the mechanisms, how when you remove a component from a schedule in another legislation. I may not have applied my mind to things.
I have been abused. This matter has been on the table since we came in, and I'm sure it's been there before that. Before the DG can decide if they want to deregister or not, time frame should have been acknowledged before you even decide what you want to do. It's either there's ball playing here, the truth doesn't want to come out. You can't decide you want to move from one thing to another and not know where the time frame is. What if it takes another 100 years? Jan van Riebeeck will even be back by then.
Honorable Moela, are you spotted? You have fun with Jan van Riebeeck. Honorable Michelle. Are you also traumatized?
Chairperson, are you saying we'll go to Corona because that's
no,
two
no,
questions?
No,
no. There are two questions that have not been answered.
There are a lot of questions that have not been answered. It has been the order of this committee and this department. A lot. Lot of questions. They don't answer questions. You see, we are parliamentarians. We start at this time and finish at this particular time. We don't have the whole day. We have a state of the nation to debate. We have a state of the nation to debate. Some of us are debating as we are seated here. From different parties, we are debating and we must prepare or fine-tune our speeches. It's now what? Quarter to one. And by 1 o'clock, we must be out of here. And we've missed the half past 12 meeting, some of us. Because the strategy is reconvening. They have reconvened at half past 12. Because we are playing merry-go-round. I played that thing when I was young, too much. Can't play it now, I'm too old. Till break my bones. Now you want me to play merry-go-round in a boardroom. Can't run. With you, Black Mamba, no. Ay, Botichi. Can we not be abused? Corona, second round, honorable members. I was the one with second round. Second round so that they answer those questions and the corona issues. Please. Honorable Mshwe, honorable Nkosi, you were next. Honorable Chetty at last. Honorable Mzane. I thought you don't want to say anything. Honorable Mzane, Mama, you are the last person.
Sorry, Chen. Can I just do a follow-up? The deputy minister, the meeting before I go to Corona. If I may, Chair.
Okay.
See, I don't want to confuse the Corona issue with that.
No. There's no confusion. You are going to do your follow-up questions. Please.
Here will be another hour, okay?
In that order.
Okay, Chairperson. My first simple question is, do we have the guarantee that our people who are in a lockdown are not starving? Because they cannot go. We want to know because our people, are they not starving? Secondly, a number of Western countries have repatriated their citizens, and South Africa has not done so. I want to know whether there is a good reason for not doing that, our people not being exposed to danger, and linked to that, those that are on the cruise ship who want to come home, you are still debating or talking, discussing the matter. How long do you think it's going to take with your discussion whether to decide to bring them home or not as they requested? And if there are consequences, unfortunate consequences, because of the delaying, is the department going to take responsibility for that? Thank you.
Three things. On the corona issue, may I suggest, Chair, that we the department coordinate the briefing for us from ourselves, the Department of Health, Home Affairs, and possibly Substance and Department of Health on readiness. I think that can help us. And then the following suggestion, Chair, that I think we have previously asked for this, that we need the foreign policy review document presentation on that by the panel, because here it says we are recalibrating our foreign policy relations documents. And then the other suggestion, Chair, is that perhaps we should, to avoid questions that arise relating to various divisions, we should now request the department to prepare presentations focusing on the various tasks that should report on us on the whole phase of the delivery of the department at, you know, the various, before we arrive at the house, if possible, maybe take two, and thereafter take another one. And that will give us a broad picture. We will avoid these questions like, what are the levels of complaints, and that, what is the context of our presence in a particular country or in a particular region. And lastly, Chair, that perhaps as a committee we should, in a very, I know this is unpopular with my friends, but in a very constructive way, welcome the fact that the political leadership of the department is taking steps to either reconsider, but you know, to do something about the programs that are in the department and give them the space to do so with interval reports on a regular basis on progress. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff, I agree that we should get a full detailed report from the department on this coronavirus and the steps and the leadership that follows the previous speaker. But Chair, we speak about Wuhan. There's 400 cases in Wenzhou, of which close to 80 to 90 South African medical students are there, and some of them have come back home. Now, we can't be oblivious to the fact that all of us watch TV, and we saw, and Chair, with all due respect, to give us this meandering, they came via Emirates and via Dubai. That doesn't make no sense right now. We were supposed to have procedures in place, safety measures in place. Those passengers should not have come through the way they came through. The fact that you could see they came from China, the media was there already. And for the DG to say we don't know about it, that's a very wanting difference. I don't want to say that somebody's playing political games yet. We can deal with the politics registered in the House. But this is about South Africa and the safety of the people that are here already. I mean, we were a country that was almost going to be emulated by Poloni, and we now say we're ready for coronavirus. Seriously, Chair. I eat Poloni, Chair, and I just stopped because of that. But Chair, let me just go back to the other issue that I was going to ask. To the Deputy Minister, I'm glad that you now want to go and do a head count, because I can tell you, if you get a report that was presented to the committee, you will find those ghost employees that you're talking about. You're definitely going to find them. The fact that you just mentioned whether we paid people who are running businesses elsewhere, and I touch just the tip of the iceberg, there's a report that was presented to us, and you need to get your hands on it, where there's a difference of 72 employees that we raised. We raised this in our very first meeting with this committee. At that time, you came up now to tell us you realize there are deficiencies. We are telling you yes. We're confirming it. Do it, you're going to find out that they are those employees. And DG, you now unilaterally take a decision to say you're on the deregister set part. Now, maybe it's an option, but when you talk like that, you must tell us you're talking about freedom of information and you've done your thing. What are you going to do when you came back and told us that spending on the transfers and subsidies is 98%, mainly due to the transfer payment for CEPA, which was not paid due to the non-authorization of CEPA? What's going to happen to that? You see, it's one thing to come and tell us that's an option, but have you thought the process through? And that's why it's important if you at least engage with us beforehand, so we also know what's going to happen. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The Deputy Minister, thank you very much for your acknowledgement that we are in a disaster. We don't have a department. And as this committee, we were just about to declare which we are taking it straight to SCOPA because we can't tell.
We are.
So thank you very much, Chairperson, for the confirmation. I wanted to say, Deputy Minister, time frames are very important because we can give a very long rope and still nothing gets done. So in your program of rebuilding this department and redeploying and whatever needs to be done, as a portfolio committee, we also need time frames on when do you plan so that we can start our monitoring, because currently it means we are sitting without a department to monitor. We might as well go home and sleep. Wherever monies have been misused, Deputy Minister, people must be brought to the law. People must be arrested. Because umhlolo esawubona sifika in New York. Even Jesus will never save you from that thing. Sorry, Fundis. So wherever money has been stolen in this department, even the AG has found out that money has been looted. Whether those people are still ministers or not, or they've retired, they must be called back to account to our people's money. I've raised this issue from start when we found out that she was allocated 37 million. Deputy Minister and the Minister herself stood in the House and said no, processes and procedures were followed. Now we are finding out which an official went and requested for approval. Chairperson, if we are not going to be honest, we are politicians. And some of us have backgrounds of analyzing money and administration. It might not be everywhere because we know they've Googled us. Our officials, they went and Googled us. Who are we? Unfortunately, some of us are anonymous. So the money that was allocated to Uzalele Mbeki is being charged, and it's being charged at a very slow pace. The first allocation, when we got the report, it was in November, that they gave her 3.9 million just to go and prepare. You need to prepare only 3.9 million. Namtang report was 8 million. For accommodations and don't ask a car program, got a half of the money is gone. It's been charged. Chairperson. And we can never allow that. We have a lot of people that can host better programs than this we are facing right now. Also, Chairperson, an issue which we've really overlooked. What is the current status of that in New York? Move relocation of those offices, because it has where it died out, and we don't want to go to that National Assembly and highlight to the whole world, because it's not just about South Africa, the whole world, that our own people are charging money even through a simple thing like an AMBA. Where else are we going to charge money? We should charge money everywhere we pass. This department is just a looting department, Chairperson. And I feel very sorry for you, Deputy Ministers, because we have figures. Unfortunately, your predecessors have the full Bible history of what happened in this department, and they are making sure that it doesn't run smoothly, so that we can see another deviation, every time we have to sit around the table with the officials. Thank you very much.
Sometimes Minister, and I said, in this department, it looks like a tuck shop. And I really repeat again. It's a shop that allows you to do money, Yeah, accumulator in the money in the country. And you said, yeah, him. And I'm very sure we can't do that. Why, I believe in my daughter. If we learn and learn,
but here Kubera, and the actually Mazan, you see that organization is reading a bit. This was when we said, please, colleague, in the name of the Federal. They are more in Rama, Rama payment, and all the ones with a woman that are not who accounts with any enzyme with the Galan. Reading about the balance in the Miango, but then they manage to put my own eyes with the air. And I was going to say,
we have not responded on PEP headquarters. We have not responded to why you abstained on Venezuela and Syria, human rights issues. We have not responded on why your advocacy programs were not achieved. We have not responded on undocumented foreigners and what you're doing. There has to be some interdepartmental program there. What are you doing? There's a lot of questions that we have not responded to, and we don't want a piece of paper in response. Respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll just send over to Ms. Kwale just to take three of them. We're still on in line to respond, Honorable Member.
Thank you, DG, Honorable Members, and Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, and Deputy Ministers. I respond to four issues, but I'm going to ask on the PAP building and Africa Russia summit if the honourable members agree that some of the issues that will touch on the report on the churches, probably just to say time not to dwell on them, because we will talk about the partnership and the PAP building in the churches if the members agree. On the UNHCR, the
Muslim, who are dealing with three quarter three. Don't refer us where we have not arrived at that destination. We still have to arrive to it. We have not. Focus. Answer questions as they appear on quarter three report. That's it. And you must be quick.
Okay, on the PAP building, Chairperson, I apologize for being forward. On the PAP building, the process is still going on. We're hoping that by October we will be able to get the president at least to attend the thought as part of the legacy project for the AU chairship. The site that was identified some time back, which was found to be unsuitable, the Department of Public Works is working on it, and they're reassuring us that it's being rehabilitated, and we would be able to make progress in terms of the PAP building.
What's happening? Is that in order? On what?
The property that she's mentioning for the...
She's not talking about the property. She's talking about short turning, meaning umhlaba uzawuhlatywa ikhalamu. Ukhiwe umhlaba, uthiwe umhlaba. How are you... You are referring to a land by a public works and what have you. How are you going to rehabilitate a wetland?
These are the discussions that we have in this public works, but the agreement that we have is that if it's not, they have indicated to us with the Department of Environmental Affairs that they're engaging in the process of rehabilitating the land. How, I have no idea. But the agreement that we have with them is that at least they will be able to identify an alternative land if this is not possible, and they are working on it.
Honorable Swart on PEP. Honorable Chet.
Because they are already stating that in October they have a date, but then they are not interested in how the rehabilitation of the land will take place. So already they have a date that is preempted when the president will do what. But in terms of how public works will rehabilitate land, habananda, which is the same answers they were giving us when we were at Zarko and were asking about properties and everything. It just comes back to that attitude check. People who just assume that we are don't for Papianis already, they can just give us English and we'll accept the English. It's unacceptable, check. Very much unacceptable, because you are putting dates, then you don't know how the land is going to be rehabilitated. So come October, it means you are not even going to follow up with public works around this whole thing. You just come back in October and tell us that unfortunately there was no land to turn the sod. Turning on the sod didn't take place because of 1, 2, 3, and 4, because don't do your work. Chabon Peggy thing, I'm sorry to go back to it. We asked you a million times what it entails and everything, you just spoke English. If people were there, Zarko, I told you that you must not assume that we are just politicians. We've been to school, we can read and write. But we are tired. Each and every manager, I told you that your problem is that you are all chief this, chief that, but don't come from royal family. You are chief director this, chief director. If you remember, I told you that you guys just see politicians that you can give messy work to. What the deputy minister is raising today in terms of labor and in terms of the ghost you have, I asked you a million times that. Does it mean if somebody comes from a mission who was an ordinary clerk can be moved to finance your 30 years? But yes, the Emla, giving Babu the question there. But when somebody goes better, ordinary clerk, but it's a skilled thing. Nifundisanama skills. So I agree with you, DM, but I never even a department mobile. Umuntu bela file, I clerk. Afagi tembu enza numabu ya leba tu ulungele gile kuti anasele zaka fayne sabali mati. Bak tembu lala. We ask an issue around the salary thing, kuti are people getting paid twice. I'm sorry DM, kuti I was at Scopa, that is why bangu zuseli zinjezi nini, because mtola lama discussions, I was not yet during the presentation, but at least I have a mind of an elephant to remind them that what we have said to them. We asked you that, do people get paid twice? They could not quite give us a proper answer now. All they could say is that, hey, when you are there, you get paid in dollars and what. You fit your feet in the lovely department. Then just look smelling. That is all. Because this type of baby thing, it means that you did not hear us. But another baby thing, I'm sorry, the name is just that is also all over. But another baby thing, we asked you a million times. And I think it is high time you give us the whole package. Because we asked you even that. You are saying that you partnered, if I remember properly, with a person in a foreign country. No advertisement. No, don't shake your head. I remember properly, we asked how she got the funding. You said she partnered with somebody there. We then asked. You said she brought a presentation. We asked you properly that. What is it that you do to inform citizens of South Africa that they can partner with somebody to go there and do a women's conference? You had no answer. We said one clarity there. Because there is no way that Zanele Mbeki Foundation is the only foundation in South Africa that has information that they can partner with some woman in another African country and bring 1,000 women here. When women here for their own issues, their GBV and everything else, and then you people want to hide under the thing that, hey, the African Renaissance Fund is just for other countries and not for South Africans. So who's an LM baby and she partners with somebody, you bring people here. Where we are seated at, we want a concrete background as to what is it that this conference is going to do. A special Ghana. Would you give them that money? That day you were speaking English, Anish. Would you know the African Renaissance Fund is only for other countries and we South Africans are paying for it. So manje ke, Nazi, the report shall tell the minister and told life that there's blood at Turku. Manje there'll be blood. That time there was water. When you reported wrong to the minister that there's blood on the Turku and what was. Now there'll be real blood. That time there was water. Now we want your maskumpimpa the real thing because as Zwakali did your gentleman. Manje mama before Kubeda. Send the early date, which estimate October, but Mustaba will rehabilitate, but there's no rehabilitation, it's a public waste thing, it's whatever. It means that even the foreign service bill that has been approved and we're waiting for signature, so they're not even taking those things into account because the very reason why we fought for the foreign service bill is that you must get out of public waste and manage your own buildings or things. Unless people have not went and read the foreign service bill, it is only accessing a problem. Because the foreign service bill we're fighting for was so that we manage your own rehabilitation of the land and your own buildings. For that matter, that you don't know how many buildings you have because Public Works itself came in front of SCOPA and said they don't have an asset register of immovable assets. So Gina, we have fought this committee to have the foreign service bill. So if you are still telling us of public works, we are not getting the energy that you guys really want to implement and take over your own things. Into Yama October month, and you don't know what is going to happen, chef. Kutalwang atila skelu vali meeting assembly, but there is nothing happening. UCFO, uyahleka uma nikhuluma. Because UCFO vele nje kwakudala, akakaza sibone nokuthi zingubani. Bengingekho, but indaba zaka-CFO zizofika ilanga lazo. Cela nje ukuthi makahambe che sizohlangana naye ngalekasikopa u-CFO. Ngoba kudlalwa ngathi la. UDG is always talking about in Lakama, sorry Chair, Honorable Mwela, this thing your correction is Lumo or Shalul 70, but in the measures. Consequence. Ikamedukulu, consequence management. Always consequence, but for real two deputy ministers with due respect, we always hear of consequence management, yes, and it does not happen. Now it is I'm happy that you are here today as the Deputy Minister because at the last sitting, the CFO told us that he will challenge the AG in court over a matter that we were putting on the table. And you are saying that you will dispute the finding of the AG in court. Yena. And as I'm telling you, we hope with his money, not with government money. Because they had not disputed Lento Leyong as Kati's time frame where they had to dispute it with the AG. But when we were asking questions there, this CFO told us, Butiena, unamandla, wakankulunkulu, uza ubonana ne AG airport. So we hope that unali sana, because we are not going to leave that matter as this committee. Because that was gross irregularity on the matter that I'm talking of here in New York. Hi, layers two, eba buya guyo I committee, eba isweti we building a parking lot, but bane building. We are still talking about the land one. Before we get to the Mfichi one with Nyoga Nyoga electricity on top, for those who have seen the video, for those who have don't, if you see it, in a Nyoga Nyoga, genetic says over again, he'll throw a parking. So there are many things, Deputy Minister. That is why it's like when we see When I see emails from Lubabalo saying, dear honorable members committee, I start feeling good to hold ngabe kuyobanjani. Because it's a mess always. Sipumala, we are angry. There's no progress. There is not one single thing that we can say we have done in this committee and concluded and is progressive that we can go forward with. Foreign policy bills must be signed so that people can stop hiding. DMs hiding behind public works, hiding behind us, because once the Foreign Service Policy Bill is signed, there will be progress. We'll be able to move, because they are hiding behind many departments, these officials. Many departments. There are many questions they don't answer, and they're putting us below you. When they come here, they have bewitched these people, for real. When they come here, before the meeting ends, they are requesting, can they respond in writing? Unless me, I'm not getting emails of those responses of theirs. I've never seen a response to this department in writing me. So they have bewitched these people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you done with you with the responses?
Yeah, I was.
You are still on the floor, Mama. Okay, Mamela, now it's 1:10. 2 o'clock we must be in the house meeting. Now, we are going to postpone point 4 of the agenda, which is the briefing on South Africa chairing of the AU. Next. Which has this shortening of a West End. That indeed. It should not be like we are doing a PR exercise about it, because the president would be embarrassed. You wouldn't want our state president to be embarrassed. Now, if you say October must happen. Otherwise, we are going to have problems. Now, in light of the fact that you are unable to respond to questions, I'm going to give your principal to respond on your behalf. And then that will be an embarrassment on your behalf. It means then, therefore, before you arrive in this portfolio committee, we must see your report. If the report is necessary, you don't come. We chase you away. That's all we can do now. Honorable Chetty, and then we will allow the Deputy Ministers to respond on this matter. Very quick, because now it's 1:15 and we're supposed to be out of this room by 1 o'clock.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, if we come to sweep after the Honorable Swat, but we just try.
You can speak Afrikaans because she landed in Africa.
You see, Chair, I exercise much respect not to raise questions today because of the very same frustration. I'm glad that both the deputy ministers are here. 3.5 hours later, you sat in this meeting with us, and this is what happens every single time you sit. No matter whatever issues we raise, it falls on deaf ears. And I'll give you an example. Page 5 speaks about the African woman in dialogue and the money allocated to that. And it's very creative, because the officials know for a fact if they put the Zanele in their key foundation, the committee would have torn them. So they become creative by saying that. But we still picked it up. It's happened before. It is misleading. Because when we asked them just now, they said there was different tranches of that money. So if you were being transparent, you could have put it out there and made it easier for all of us. But if you want us to go and look for things, we will go and find things. The other issue is this. 6 months ago, we raised the issue about the building, about that and the rental that is costing us as government. At that time, we were told that 3 years before that, it was in the process. And then eventually, when the report came to us, it was due to the fact it was a wetland. It was now said that it was not conducive.
That was at that time. Today we hear in October there's going to be a trial clinic for the same property. Now, if in between what we were told and today there's been a change and all of a sudden there's no longer wetland and it's not conducive for us to build, surely the report should have come to us in other meetings that we were having. Now, this is the kind of, for the want of a better word, meandering that we have in the committee, that we have to deal with. That when you raise an issue and a concern, you get told what they think you want to hear and then move on. That happens every single time. And yes, Ramu Swak was right. The CFO did say that he does not agree with the AG's report. My problem was this. The department presented the AG report. They accepted the AG's report. But when we interrogate the report of the AG, then individuals start to distance themselves from it. Now, you can't be held or want to be independent of something that they call itself, because that is the department. But people have to choose and refuse on the committee, in the department. And that's an issue we're going to have. The last thing, Chair, through you to the Deputy Ministers, New York is going to be an embarrassment, and we've got to be prepared for that. It's going to be an international embarrassment, because the officials have allowed this to happen. Thanks, Chair.
Kiki, do you have anything left to say?
We were still on the floor, Chair, answering questions.
We don't have time. I can give you 5 minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question on EU-UK, which we, in the wake of Brexit, I believe. I just want to report that the UK itself has initiated an economic partnership agreement with Southern Africa and Mozambique for in order to have that partnership in order to take care of the UK Southern Africa, while at the same time the EU-SA partnership is still in place. So we both of them are there, and they will work for us. It's in our national interest. Our positions in various platforms, where sometimes there are abstentions, the examples that were given were not Venezuela and Syria and Burundi. There is a mechanism that we have developed in the department otherwise, in which we issue instructions, for example, those that are in the United Nations Security Council, we issue instructions after consulting with principals on what position we take, assessing on what is the matter at hand and whether it is in our national interest. We do issue such instructions, and because here I may not be able to clearly come up with one example at the top of my head, since I have to be clear, it could be one of the things that when we come, we can each time brief the committee about what went on in a particular issue and matter, and why our vote was the way it was. At no stage, I would point out to the Honorable Committee, did we go off the line so far in where we took strategic retreat for extension? It was in view of either the matter would have been in the interest of those who might be pursuing interests other than ours, or where we felt it will not be worthwhile. So we will, as the committee would prefer, in future bring this practical so that we speak on matters like that.
When you don't have a response, don't respond, because now we are speaking in parables and we are wasting our time. Next question.
The next question that we did not answer yet is the one on AGOA. Yes, honorable members, the the Trump administration or the American government is classifying us out of the developing world, with the result that we are likely to get out of the preferential trade arrangements. And there are ongoing discussions. CTI is dealing, is negotiating directly with the Department.
And then you allow people to say Africa loves Trump and Trump is our lover generally in South Africa.
Right.
And you say nothing.
It's beyond my pay grade. So the other one is that our new ambassador is due to, we just got an agreement recently, and part of the work that, and the American ambassador has submitted a credential, has started working. We will be engaging because when we see what is going on, we still believe that as trade partners, there will still some ways of finding each other elsewhere. But should the eventuality be what it is, Honorable Committee, we still believe that we will survive as more markets will be open for us, but would have forfeited an opportunity to get some of our value-added exports that we do, which are contributing to our economy being forfeited. The other one is, sorry, I did not, and I do recognize.
Head of mission. I recommended for
another. Okay. Honorable committee, we should indicate to your good selves that once people come into the country as undocumented, they've gone off our mandate into another area, but where we have a strong bilateral agreement with the host countries, we engage them. I will give an example. During the attacks, if we remember, we did convene heads of mission to explain to them our limitations and our appreciation of the fact that the migration issues perturbing us are really something that all have to take responsibility. And recently, just 2 days ago, Mozambique was able to return about a sizable number of Malawian migrants who were coming our way based on our bilateral engagements with them. Those who are in the country, like the refugees, actually from the definition itself, once a person is declared a refugee in his own country, he is no longer in the same status that others are. And because of that status, he or she becomes a refugee as defined by our laws, and therefore our sister Department of Home Affairs is the department that together with us will work on the matters. But we as a department are not able to fully engage on because it is outside of the diplomatic purview, since we only have state-to-state relationships.
The finish is long gone, dear. Long gone. DM, which DM? Honorable Alvin Potter is on leave today, is not speaking. Okay. Yes, DM.
Chairperson. Well, I just want to request the committee that give us a chance, because some information that we got from the foundation now, it's new. We're not aware that there's a chief director that did whatever, but we want to pledge that we'll bring a full report about the Zanele Mbeki Foundation, all documents that you had to look at. The second issue is the issue of the CFO of 1 to take the LG to court. Well, any person can do that, but the timing is not right because we have accepted the report. And I know that in terms of the law, you can challenge
the AG, you challenge the AG after the AG has presented the first report. You declare a dispute. I have once done that in my other department. Every stakeholder comes in, we discuss the matter, we agree. So now, if that has been never done at that level, so there's no way you can challenge the AG. So we will advise the CFO, unless it's personal, but if it's administrative, it's not going to work. I also want to suggest that there are issues that I feel we have a gap, because most of the time we rely on Department A or B, what a department is saying. I want to suggest that we need to have a session with a committee where we discuss economic diplomacy, so that all the issues of Brexit, Alcoa and all that is presented in the committee by the relevant department, so that you are filled in, because in most cases we get reports, you know, from our embassy, but then the department has got their attachees in every situation, and they are the ones that are monitoring. So we don't want to come here to say, no, the Department of so-and-so will say this, or they must give us a report to give it to you. So we must also have a session with all of us, so that we feel each other properly, and we answer your questions and distribute information. Issues of consequence management, of course, is very weak in the department. The minister have realized that. We are busy checking the issue of the discipline in the department and people, because we have learned that previously discipline was just to be posted. Some of the discipline is when a person is posted outside because it's problematic here. Yeah. So now we have realized that. You're also going to realize that if you visit some missions, you find that they're very, very rude officials. Rude even to us as deputy minister. But when you trace back, you discover that person had a GC hanging, but he was just smuggled in and somewhere else now. So we have realized that. The minister have realized that. So we'll sort this thing, but give us a chance and support us. Of course, we can't say you are too hard to us. The issues that you are raising is correct. We need to correct ourselves and also to sort our house. On the issue of the coronavirus, I think we need to invite also to have a joint briefing. Department of Health, Home Affairs, ourselves. Because the responsibility of the health issues, we can't vouch here, as the Honorable Measure said, vouch to us that people are not sick, people have got enough food. Our missions has reported that the manner they buy their food. So we are told that food were running short in shops, but now we're reassured by the Chinese government that the supply that is going in Wuhan, and so there's no problem of food. But then the health issues, whether South Africa is ready to receive, what we know is that they must be brought by private transport. So a private transport must land there, the people must be quarantined, yeah, and then 14 days, then you take them privately, because they can't move within the local transportation of that area. So now, we felt that it is not at that level to say people, of course everyone can panic, like South Africans now are panicking because they've seen people that are coming from where they thought they are coming from China, yeah. So now they are going to be sick and all that. So we don't want situation come to a family to say, no, we don't want this person. Why is this person is here? Because you know the person was in charge. So we don't want us to go up to that level. But up to so far, we've been reassured by the government of China that our South Africans are safe,
and South Africans if there's anything. But they're posting, you know, they're posting and pressurizing us. But I just want the members to understand that any person going to any country, they need to touch base with the offices of their country. Because we can't vouch of how many people are there. There are those that come via our offices, we know, that's why we give you figures. But there are those that are going on their own. But if there's a problem, now it comes back to us. So we accept that because they are in a foreign country. So we are a department that people must complain. But people must not really put it as if we took them there. Now we must bring them here. No. No, people must take full responsibility of their actions. If ever in China they were getting money, they will not even tell us. But because there's disease now, you know, they want us to do something. We are prepared to do something, but up to so far, we are not at that level to say we need to evacuate them. There's a job committee that is sitting. I'm also part of that committee. So if a situation says, definitely let's take them, let them come to South Africa, we'll agree and even inform South Africans, this is the place where we're going to put them, quarantine them, and this is how the quarantine going to work and all that. So please bear with us. Bear with us. We are almost comforted that there's no one who's sick. We are watching the numbers. We're watching the numbers of death as against infection, as against people that are healed and all that. So we pray that I think more people must be healed than dying. So even the Chinese are trying their best to do that. So we really appreciate your input. But we really become your nuisance, but help us and support us so that we can really sort ourselves out. We really prepare to sort ourselves out. Whoever is milking the department will show himself because, you know, sometimes we are not there to investigate people. We are there to work with them, to correct their way of working, to help them and support them to do a better job. But if there's no better job, there's something wrong that is happening, consequences must be there. Definitely our minister is prepared to take the bull in with his horns so that we correct the situation in that department. Bear with us. We know we're giving you a lot of stress, but bear with us. We also shocked, like you're shocked. But we are shocked every day ourselves. So it is better we shock you when you call us. But you see now, we are in a shock. In fact, we are like an electricity station which is just vibrating every time. But we thought it will come better. So thank you very much, Chairperson.
So, Honorable Voters, where is Geneva? Is it in Switzerland?
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, the 43rd session of the United Nations Human Rights Council is convening next week, which I'll attend. And I think the...
Is Geneva in Switzerland?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the important issue, just from my contribution, Chair, I think the first issue, probably what I would agree is that your next quarter report, apart from the data, the financial and non-financial performance that the department provides, probably what should accompany the presentation is some sort of a geopolitical note, all right, that spells out what has happened in terms of contemporary world politics in the different regions of Africa. And I'm raising it, Chair, because that will then be able to lean substance to the questions posed by members about the content issues of meetings that are being convened, including conventions and conferences. So I think the note by on the concern on legal cooperation that has been raised by the Honorable Nkosi, I think, flows from that type of a discussion. The second issue, Chair, probably because of time, I know members wanted to get a detailed briefing on African Union. But probably my submission will be that we look at a portfolio committee that will be seized with multilateralism. So when you speak about African Union, European Commission, you speak about non-aligned movement, the African or the ACP member states, we think it's important that members must be taken into confidence at a detailed level around that. The issues of international solidarity, it has been raised by the ACDP about our posture as it relates to countries, for example, like Venezuela, where we have an international solidarity stance, its role as it relates to human rights matters, and its elections into the United Nations Human Rights Council. I think it's important that we engage in regards to those issues. But primarily, I think members understand and appreciate our foreign policy perspective for South Africa, in particular as it relates to solidarity is concerned. And lastly, Chair, just from my side there, the issues of the United States that have taken a decision to take us out of the quantum of what we call vulnerable countries. That decision has been postponed for many years by, in particular, the Obama administration, and I'm raising it, Chair, because members will appreciate it. The World Bank, almost a decade back, have classified us as part of the higher middle-income groups of countries. So we have, for the past decade, not been classified as part of less developed countries, but because of how the relationship between South Africa and the U.S. administration unfolded, we were then privileged by this very, what we call a unilateral, a positive unilateral contribution by the states to keep us under the AGOA issue. And I'm raising it to colleagues because just last year, even before this major decision, the U.S. have refused to provide South Africa's exemption, 25% exemption on tariffs as it relates to aluminium and steel exports. So this matter has been long coming, and there must be a debate about foreign interests of South Africa. What is our foreign interest? Is it to compromise and lose character for the value of a rand? Or is it to be consistent in terms of what we believe in, and how do we then reflect with the crisis of joblessness in South Africa? And I think that probably it's some of the issues that politically that there needs to be engagements with the portfolio committee so that we can then guide better the administration when we develop our APP for the next financial year. Yabonga, sir.
You want to summarize?
Yeah.
I'm going to look how and do you point me and who's
Thanks, Chief. No, not to summarize. I haven't been answered on Israel. It's a ton. A very big ton.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As we always responded on this matter, the department is preparing modalities to advise cabinet to take a decision. So we're at that level that we need to present modalities of implementing the policy decision that you say. So we're still waiting for that information from the administration and to be discussed by the administration and the minister for the minister taking it to cabinet. Thank you.
That's not enough. You are cabinet ministers of the ruling party, and the ruling party is clear on Israel. So those policies of yours, they can't contravene the policies of the ruling party. So can't be found wanting. on that thing of Israel. There's clarity on the side of the ruling party. Honorable members, we are attending our meeting. It's late. We have not eaten. We must now run to the house because bells are ringing. We are going to have our ordinary portfolio committee without the department. I think there's a lot that we need to reflect on as a portfolio committee and take decisions moving forward. That issue of COPA, Honorable Sane, is a long-standing decision. It's there. It's not going to be changed. It must be implemented. And we are going to implement it. About it, Minister and about Minister, they are going to find it on our way to Scoba. And we are not going to take a detour. We are going to land there. And then they will join us at Scoba. I know there's a number of issues which they have raised. We are very patient with the department. But there are issues where we can't tolerate, especially mediocre. We have tolerated it for a very long time. Now, as a portfolio committee, we need to reflect on those things, take a decision, and relate those decisions to the minister and what have you. We are going to also, in that meeting, of ourselves only, reflect on the report of New York, so that we adopt that report of New York and then be able to send it to the minister. Because it is very important that the minister gets the report and get to understand that her officials in the department, irrespective of what the mission recommends, they would go and procure and approve a parking lot which is in Nyoka Nyoka as an office of the mission or embassy. Then, proof, personal evidence, where they ourselves made videos, we know, and the DG considered because he also went and he saw. But on paper, it's a flamboyant building. But in reality, eye for eye, it's a parking lot. Seeing is believing. So that report will be some kind of a damning report that will need decisiveness on the side of the department on ensuring that people there are held accountable. Issues of conflict of interest, they were clear there. We saw them. They were reported to us. They are going to be reflected in that particular report. It's not a nice report, but we also hope that the opposition won't use it as a footballing tool, because it's not for footballing. Otherwise, this department is going to collapse right under our noses. Right under our noses. So, we need to have our own meeting. Have our own meeting, reflect on the department, take decisions, inform the minister, and then make recommendations. Because we've got lots of recommendations as the portfolio committee to be submitted to the minister. And we've been resisting submitting those recommendations, by the way, as the portfolio committee. But I think that time has arrived for us to submit those recommendations. Because you can't have an official of the department posted in a mission, but still has a space here as an employee. When that person goes and comes back, he finds or she finds a space waiting for him or her in the department. It has never happened. I saw it for the first time and experienced it for the first time in this department. It can never be. That's why you have reached this today. Then decisiveness only that will prevail and liberate the department from the state which is in today, very polluted one. And as the portfolio committee, we can't sit in boardrooms, speak English, whether we break it or not, but try and speak English. It will never help us, that thing. We, action must be done. Now, on our side, we've got a tool that buys Scopa. On your side, you have power. So you must use that power to liberate the department. You can see for yourself, and the time for the budget will come. We must approve overspending, less spending, movements of money from this to that, and whatever. It cannot happen. It ends here today. Here today, it ends. We're not going to tolerate that thinking. We're not going to be rubber stampers of corruption and all this mediocre. That thing, it ends today. So we really need to work with each other, ensuring that the department is in a state of health, good health. See, now, we have a department, don't know whether it's half dead, half awake, or it's in ICU, or probably a critical but stable. I don't know what the state of the department is in sense, but I think the department is in ICU, breathing two pipes, and as people who are assigned with the responsibility to run the department from the political point of view, you need to work with us because you are the heads there, political principals and principals in general. The department, we know and understand that you find it like this. But then finding it like this, it means that the garbage that is there is yours now. Deal with the garbage, and if deal with that garbage, you deal with it decisively. Decisively, you deal with that garbage. Otherwise, there's nothing that we are going to say. DRRR, I have seen that thing. I'm worried about it. But the committee will see. And then we go on a FCT. But it doesn't look good. The DRRR, which is referred to the committee by the speaker, it doesn't look good. Not at all. And we must understand that. Mm-hmm. And easy. But we are going to discuss it when we get there. Our meeting is adjourned. And the DM, I think both of you and DM, Mama, don't allow the president to be embarrassed. PEP is among the legacy projects which are listed in this report of the AU. Don't allow a situation where the president will be embarrassed. Not even a single day way I've ever heard of a wetland conducive to be a building. For the first time I hear it. Where a wetland will be rehabilitated and be in a state of building whatever there for the first time. So you need to make a follow-up. People might think that October is far. October is like tomorrow. February is gone already. The year is finished already. Once it's March, the year is over. So you need to make a follow-up. Observe that thing very closely. If it means you must intervene, then political principal to political principal, you do that. Otherwise, this department will embarrass the president. Thank you very much.